not saying that Reaper shouldn't be in the game, because you're right, the self-aware edgelordness has taken on a life of its own. But I am saying...
What are you saying?
That Skullamania in his place with Skullamania's voice clips equals more lols.
Does he still use the guns?
He still uses the guns.
But what they're like little Skullo guns?
They're little Skullo guns.
What does he say during his ult? The same thing?
Skullo Dream!
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's right.
And when you hold, and when you run with him, the whole time you're playing, he goes, chat, 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 chat.
But this would, this, like, many people wouldn't get it. We would get it. And, like, Max would get it.
But yeah, that's enough. I don't care.
Okay, but our happiness would eclipse that of the world.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. You're right. You know?
Like, hey, Street Fighter V only shipped like 100,000 copies during the past couple months. Fuck that. Season 2, put Skullamania in.
That would...
Right? Problem solved.
Sales would skyrocket downward, then
they would
back
skyrocket
upward.
All the way down.
Yeah. Imagine all those character interactions where Mercy's like, oh my god, what have I done to you? And then you just hear, Skullo hit! Skullo dive!
He can only say these things. He can't actually kill.
There's no... Exactly.
And then every single character on the fucking cast gets a weird, freaky Skullo version. Like in that one ending.
Yeah.
Where he's got like naked Ryu strapped
Skullo
to a table.
Skins for everybody.
Don't worry about that. Wooly made sure to put that in the Street Fighter box art review because he loves that picture so
fucking
much.
Fucking A, man.
Ryu's super hot and ripped in that photo.
And he's got like some weird dick gas going around his
Can't
dick.
Show his wiener. That'll distort your vision of the character.
A lot of dark Hadou around that area.
That'd be amazing.
Speaking of which, Wooly, I have a bone to pick with you.
You got a bone to pick.
Yes. Over the weekend, you single-handedly ruined an amazing bit that I thought we were going to take to the moon. Pretty disgusting behavior that now we can never do ghetto Overwatch cosplay.
Because
we had to kill it by doing actual amazing... And was it worth it? Was it worth it to bury ghetto Overwatch cosplay?
You know...
Overall...
Sometimes
it wasn't.
There's ups and there's downs in this world, and I'm sorry for killing the bit.
You killed it.
We can
and
never
it was
ever.
Your bit.
God,
kind
damn,
of.
God, I didn't realize.
All I would have had to do was like put on a pirate hat and like fucking open up my shirt to be all like disgusting.
Yeah.
And then I'd be like ghetto pirate Torbjorn.
That's all you had
and
to
you
do.
Stole that from me.
That's all.
Or you could have like alternatively just put on a little biker helmet and that would have been
just walk around with
but then people would have thought like I'm fucking Nazi.
No, wait. And then you walk around with a real hammer.
Yeah.
Like not a fake cosplay hammer.
Who are you supposed to be? Fuck off.
And you could have entirely just walked around and said I worked hard on that.
At the same time, it's Hamilton. You would have fit right in.
So like, we were in Hamilton for the weekend.
The Con Bravos.
And Hamilton, okay, Con Bravo is a nice con. Let's get that out of
Very
the way.
Nice.
I like going to Con Bravo.
Mark runs a nice, tight ship.
Mark and Luke and Jordan and Kelly and those are the people that I met.
They work hard.
They're nice and they work hard. And Jordan kept fucking with me, the piece of shit. But Hamilton, though. Like, me and some friends went to go get some booze and we drove past the Tim Hortons. There was like a fucking Nazi revolution going off in the fucking parking lot of a Tim Hortons.
You didn't know this about Tim Hortons? They usually have Nazi powers.
It was like, and I mentioned that a couple times to you guys before the podcast, but like, no, like a shit ton of skinheads and their motorcycles looking scary as fuck having coffees in the Tim Hortons parking lot.
So there were two events in particular to me that really speak to the character.
Is one a question?
One is no. Okay. It's quite simple, really. There's two things. One was just a discussion with somebody about like what to categorize it as to someone who's never been here.
Yeah.
My friend Kevin, who I was walking with, basically was like, you know, I was trying to think of the best way to describe it to someone who's never been to Hamilton, and I think what I can say is it's like the nicest part of Detroit.
Yeah, it's Canada's Detroit.
You can find.
Yeah.
Right. And then the other bit was when we were over at the Honest Lawyer's Restaurantainment extravaganza.
Restaurantainment, it's what you need.
We were having some wings and beer over there. Terrible beer. Awful. Awful piss beer.
Why didn't you pick cider? Did they not have any?
They didn't have any.
Because it's the fucking Honest Lawyer.
It's the Honest Lawyer
we're
Restaurantainment.
We're honest that we don't have cider.
And my friend walked into the ladies' bathroom.
This is a good story.
And was greeted with a nice smeared turd on the ground right there. But not
right in the middle of the floor.
Right in the middle of the floor, but not a step away were the pants that they came in abandoned right next to it. And she walked in and saw at the same time as another lady, and they kind of locked eyes and had a moment staring at what we're now calling the Hamilton hello.
That's correct.
The Hamilton, how do you do?
Yeah.
So, you know, just a nice little, oh, I didn't see you there. Hi.
I want to add another one that I'm sure, Willie, you saw, but I don't know how it slipped your mind, which was the question of the night of Saturday night, which is, why is that dog smoking?
Why is that dog smoking? Was the other question.
He was the hottest guest at Dog Con.
That is not
smoking.
That
dog.
Is not hyperbole. There was a Jack Russell Terrier in front of the hotel doing tricks. And no. His biggest trick was that he would smoke during the entire thing.
See, I pictured him literally, like, his body having smoke wafting off it. Like, he was getting exploded in Ninja Scroll, that one lady that can sew you up with explosives inside.
No, this is a dog with a fucking lit cigarette in its mouth smoking a cigarette.
Now, here's the other
Who
bit.
Who says there's no more heroes?
Right? Now, the thing is
that is a fucking suit of 51 boss fight.
Smoking Russell.
Now, out on the streets, Dog Con was in full effect. But inside the con, it was still a tight con.
Yeah.
And one might say that perhaps it might be time to evolve Dog Con into Fog Con.
Oh, I missed it.
That was great. There was a couple of events we had, and I'm gonna just skip right to what I'm talking about. We had the Super Feud, the first ever Super Best Friends versus.
I've been Lex Lugering this all weekend. What is it called?
I thought
it was Super Brawl.
No, it had names. In the end, the Twitch TV thing went up as Super Feud,
and on the schedule it was listed as Super Feud.
So okay, Best Friends versus. Team Four Star versus Arcadia versus Screw Attack.
Versus who?
Versus Screw Attack.
A bunch of no ones.
All these, and then with the clutch voice of Vegeta,
Chris Sabat
joining in
as an assist,
knowing why he was there or what he was doing.
So real like
to compete in a game of Mario.
There's
Party.
A really great moment where I could. It was very loud and I couldn't hear what Taka said when Chris came in, and. Like, he sat down, and I leaned over to one of the Arcadia guys, and I'm like, why is someone's dad here?
Right. So what we ended
up... Why is Trunks' dad here?
Yeah. Oh.
So, you know, you can go back and check that out and watch the cute intro that Arcadia has as they kind of play some music.
I never saw it.
You know,
it wasn't worth seeing to me.
Do a little mic work and then get on the stage.
We were busy, like taking years off our lives.
And then Screw Attack for our interest. Came out, and then, you know, they did a little crowd work as well. You know, and even after... Us, you had Takahata and them walking down with your wife.
Okay, so
as Jay Epic Game Music James played them on with his guitar.
This is why I was so confused, because like I'm like, yeah, okay, this is a big event. We all know this is going to happen, and I look to the front row and I'm like, oh, my wife doesn't support me. She's not here. Maybe she.
Oh, so you had no involvement in that bit.
No help from wife.
I don't see her, and I'm like, oh, okay. And I'm sitting down, and I see Taka, and it coming down like
Where's
the ramp.
Where's my goddess of victory?
Right.
Holding two goddesses of victory, my wife and Star Exorcist, and I went, oh, that's a good bit. Mm-hmm. That's a good bit. Mm-hmm. I'll let it slide.
But
pretty good.
We were and Taka did a good job introducing. He's like, direct your eyes to the right. As the side stage garage door opens, fog pours out, and we're doing our double bolt poses.
Yeah. I like that so much because opening Shutter Door reminds me so much of the start of Double Dragon because Billy and Jimmy come out of the exact same door. Like
Tables Turn played us on.
The Tables Turn mix.
The Fort Minor version.
The Fort Minor version. Good job on Liam for picking that. That was his idea.
So that was hype as fuck. For some reason, heavy bias towards us on the crowd's part.
Well, it's because they knew we were the best.
Well,
they knew
it's right
that,
there in the name.
But it was Team Four Stars panel right before that.
Yeah, but nobody likes them. They showed up to that panel so they could boo them. Yeah,
that's true. That and Taka boos, did though. Heal it really hard.
Yeah, yeah, he did. The who should have been booed did get booed, to
and
be fair.
And there's no way Antfish could have expected to not get booed with his two hats.
Yeah.
And stickers yeah. on your body.
You
and then Arcadia came out.
And everyone and was people, like, who?
And that one person was like, who is that?
So,
Austin said.
All in all, a successful event. A good time was had by all.
Yeah.
Like
I can't believe, you know, spoiler alert, we fucking crushed it. We
what
crushed
was
it
five
so
stars
hard.
To
5-4 to
2-1
Yeah, and some of the, and you know, some of the fun of the event is like, it's Mario Party. Anything can happen. Oh my God. Oh my God. No. No,
like,
absolute
what?
Annihilation.
Skill reigns
at,
above
like,
all.
At, like, the 60% mark of, like, we're like, yeah, we're going to win.
Yeah. Yeah the, like, smack talked, like, there's a point where you're talking smack hard because you're trying to, like, you know,
get the crowd
get in their
going.
Head. But then there's the part where you start talking smack quiet because
yeah.
there's no worry in your mind.
And just like, yeah, like, the I think the last part of that was just like, just maintain. Just maintain. We don't
now,
even got to win.
I want to call out some allegations made against me in particular that I sabotaged the Arcadia guys by drinking too late with Austin the night before and fucking his ass up.
Pulling a Con Bravo JonTron 2014
That's
or 2015.
Like me, my girlfriend, Brent, and Austin were all drinking, Brent Black. And guess what? None of us got sick except for you, Austin. So
that was
a late night.
You still initiated planned sabotage.
So quit being a bitch.
You still initiated.
That being said, Lee telling the story of how Austin came back from the room is the best. Austin comes, like, stumbles through the door, goes, man, PlayStation Plus is like the best deal, and then walks into the bathroom to throw up.
Man, look. Look, it can't really be counted as sabotage if everybody's, like, taking a swig. Even if we detect bitch in your heart, and we drink too,
yeah.
If you're gonna go down for the count, what can we do about it?
I see him starting to go. So, hey, I'm gonna have another beer! Anyone else like another beer?
You guys weren't there for this, but I had this weird moment as well, where I didn't quite know what was going on, because, you know, we've all done it before, but we usually get, you know, one room, maybe two. And leading up to this, I was told, like, yeah, there's no room in the Homewood Suites this year. It's all sold. And I'm like, oh, okay, we'll have to pile in into this one room at the Sheraton. And the Sheraton was apparently all sold out, too. So I'm like, okay, sure. And just as we're getting there, I'm kind of told, like, oh, we should check out Homewood Suites. We could stay with Corinne or something. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's weird. There's no real point. Like, I already talked to everyone. They're like, no, there's no room. And I go, and I'm like, all right, so let's. There was a Quebecois baseball team tournament happening in the Homewood Suites.
That's what was
going on.
Right? And I'm like, okay.
Because I heard French people on the streets.
Yeah.
In English Canada.
And I go, okay, so let's just go because they're not going to have any room. And then I'm told that, like, Kelly and Leanna just go, we got a room for Kurt for his birthday ever since MAGFest. We reserved one room because we need a big room. And I'm like, wait, for Kurt? He has a room. Like, for his birthday, idiot.
Bonus
like, oh,
room.
Shit. Big, well, not like so much bonus room, but they needed the biggest room because we're like, we estimate like 18-ish people.
Yeah, guess what? That room wasn't big enough.
It wasn't cold enough.
Yeah,
it was super sweat.
I actually had to leave like relatively early because I was starting to get like fucking
sweaty.
Crowd fumes.
Yeah. Sometimes you need a disposable room that you expect to get kicked out of.
Smell.
They're stinky because they're videos. Yeah. Anyway, my main task was to lead Kurt around and be like, hey, man, I'm going to take you out.
It's totally not your birthday.
For drinks. No, for your birthday.
Oh.
That's how you throw someone off the case. You tell them the truth, but you lie about
hey,
one
we're
going
to bring you
it.
To the shitty party.
So as we're going, and I go, "Oh shit, Kurt, I forgot my passport. I might need it just in case I get carded." Kurt's like, "I never get carded." And I'm like, "Okay, well, whatever. I need it." So he's like, "Oh, I'll just wait out here." And this is when you're trying to fight against human nature. When you're trying to set up a surprise or a thing, and a person says a reasonable thing, like, "We'll just wait out here." And then I quickly go, "Oh, Kurt, there's an intro I wanted to show you. You know, just come up. I have an intro I wanted to show
you." He's like, "No, I'm good."
Quick thinking.
Like my stream intro, whatever. I put the picture of Shinsuke Nakamura and you and I in there. He's like, "Oh, all right, cool." He clearly doesn't want to do it. Like, he doesn't have enough patience.
Yeah.
So I go up and I'm just like, and I go on. I'm like, "There's no way I can have him go in first. Why would that happen?
The only solution there is to, like, go in first fast."
Yeah. I forget that the lights are off, and I don't think to turn on the lights. Plus, I'm not familiar with the room.
Uh-huh.
I only, like, we're staying there one day because we were staying with someone else the other day. But I go in, and I go, I don't know what I was doing, but I just went, "What the fuck?" And then the door slams, Kurt gets locked out, and he didn't... And I'm like, "Oh, God." And I hear Leanna go, "You fucking idiot. You messed it up." And I'm like, no, it's fine. And I open up the door and Kurt's like, "What?" And he's like, "Why did you lock the door behind me?" And I'm like, "No, it's fine." And he comes in and then I slam on the lights and he goes, everyone goes, "Happy birthday." And he's like, "Oh my God, what the fuck? Oh shit." And like, he was legitimately surprised, but I couldn't have bumbled it more. Anyway,
at least you didn't give him a Hamilton hello.
No, you didn't. He slips in one on the way in.
Oh no, man! Takahata has so many friends.
Oh,
as Chris Sabat. So the other thing, we all know this.
That is the weirdest.
We all know this, but Chris Sabat again showed up for this party, and he told lots of stories that are under NDAs that are really fun about voice acting and shit. And he has a lovely time. I talked to him. We all talked to him.
That's
just. You just wanna like, you know, pick someone's brain a little bit. And then he's like, "Yeah," he was there for a while. And then he goes, "All right, well, I'm gonna head out, guys." And everyone says goodbye. And then the room's kind of emptying out. And this is around midnight or so. And we got like a security guard after you guys had left. He came in twice and like looked in and he goes, "Why do you have so many people in here?" And we're like, "We're having a party. Is this like one of those Pokemon things?"
Shut up.
And then we're like, "No, it's just a party." And he's like, "All right, you have to get rid of some people though. It's got too many people in here." Like, we specifically got this room, they were saying to him, because the occupancy is this.
Yeah.
That's what it says. Yeah, and we're below that.
And he's like,
"No, you need to get rid of some people. Stop this Pokemon, whatever it is." And then leaves. And I'm like, there's no one even had their phones out at the time. But Chris Sabat leaves.
Sounds like a fucking Team Mystic.
Anyway, looks up at our hotel room from outside and starts periscoping our room.
From the outside, right, from the parking lot.
And then he starts saying, "Man, Takahata, like Pat alluded to, Takahata has so many friends. They didn't invite me though. What a bunch of dicks." And then us in the room see him on Twitter periscoping, talking shit about the party
that he was just
invited to.
Yeah.
And we're looking at us in our phones of him looking at us, talking shit about us when he just had a lovely, I hope, time.
It's hard to question the bit. The bit might be stronger than we understand or know.
I'm sure he's done this before.
Is it funnier knowing that he was in there or not knowing that he was in there?
We were all laughing for a while. But it was a good time.
Yeah. So the one thing, of course, was, lots of tiredness happening throughout this weekend as well. We had a 10 a.m. panel. I'm really surprised people made it out to. Like,
I was surprised we made it out.
No, I'm like, I wouldn't go see me at 10 a.m.
No.
I was really thankful.
I see all you guys and Pat's tired and Liam was really, really tired. And like, I guess you were tired. This is the first time I'd seen you.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm like, "Oh, all you losers, I'm not tired at all. I slept." And as soon as we sat down on the panel, "Oh my God, I'm so tired all of a sudden. I can barely do it.
It's the stinker.
So we're all on the same level.
Very tiring, man. Like, and it's not like, you know, that we were on a different time change or anything.
Nope.
It was a really quick flight all in all, but lots of exhaustion.
Yeah.
You know, personally on my end, and the thing is too, I guess, is that like, Because we came in the day, we came in like Thursday early.
Day earlier than usual.
Like,
that's what I wanted to say.
Well, too many games. Didn't we show up on Thursday? Thursday night? I think we did.
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
But Con Bravo, we've always shown up Friday morning.
Friday.
Yeah. That's true. But you can't underestimate the Hamilton hour.
No.
Or the Hamilton minute, should I say. It's not quite the New York minute.
Dude, that Jackson City Center, the Hamilton City Center, like the Sad Mall, as we've christened it,
mm-hmm.
like, it's worse every year. Like, there are less stores open in that fucking thing.
No, you don't know the Sad Mall. That's the pre-Sad Mall. That mall connects to a sadder, multi-level mall.
No, that's what I'm talking
about. Okay, you did
go. The Jackson Square is the underground Sad Mall.
Yeah.
But that connects to the Hamilton City Center.
That's the one,
which
right.
is the multi-level sound Sad Mall okay. where my girlfriend and I were walking around taking photos because it looked like we were fucking urban spelunking in a currently open mall.
Mm-hmm.
Like, fuck. We found a fucking door that looked like a car crashed into it on the inside. How does that happen?
You guys came back reporting on the prostitutes pretty quickly.
Oh, it's really creepy. Hamilton little kids are all dressed like revealingly, and it's fucking weird.
You can have a Silent Hill game in that mall. That's that mall.
You gotta prep them for the meth, I guess.
Yeah.
I have to apologize actually to like Austin and Taka and you know all our friends in general because
sorry you're such bitch losers
because well there's that couldn't have expected that one
R.I.P. losers
but
we stole all the stars
also for just not spending as much time and hanging out in general because I knew this con was gonna be a clusterfuck because it was a meeting of like 8 different social groups that I knew. And
yeah, I actually had a similar problem point. Where it's like I'm at a con. It's like I actually know too many people.
I know too many people here.
That's a weird feeling.
But my priorities were really just getting that cosplay done. And
I spoke to the friend who recommended the person who helped you with that cosplay, and they were like, "You should get a refund for some of that shit that you were having it fucking mailed to your goddamn room."
It wasn't
the day of the
no,
con.
No, but it was honestly, it's not. It was like the help I got on it was amazing and. Mm. There were circumstances out of people's control, you know? And honestly, the thing about it is that every step of the way, this was like the costume that God did not want to happen.
Yeah, no.
Because every individual part failed or had a problem or a roadblock in it at least 3 times.
Well, that's what I mean. Like,
and even the stuff involving the shirt, the down to the fucking wires, the tubing, everything had a problem. Oh, the tattoo, everything had a problem that had to be overcome at least twice. And I just fucking went, no, I have a backup plan to the backup plan to the backup plan. I'm not gonna not make this happen.
You've been working on this for quite a while, haven't you?
It was, I started it a month and a half ago And when it came down to the final week and the 3D printing was not done yet,
yeah.
I was starting to panic, you know? But yeah, man, I got some help from like some really, really cool people on it. And like in all, the crew that I went to the YetiCon with was amazing. And
I spoke to some of them and I'm like, they're like, "Where's Wooly?" I'm like, "He's in his room fixing his costume." I'm like, "How long's he been doing that?" The whole con, and they're like, and this is 2 separate people that I had this conversation with. Oh yeah, he knows the struggle now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's legit, man. I have nothing but infinite respect for the people that go through that on a regular basis, much less switch into 3 for throughout the entire weekend.
Well, yeah, cause that means that has to be fucking spick-span.
Right.
Done safely, perfectly, immaculately packed so that no damage to the metal or the fucking cardboard or whatever.
Shit's cracking in the plane.
See, I respect a complicated cosplay like that, but you know what? I would rather go, "Oh no, the elastic band in the back of my Sans mask is black instead of white," instead of, "Oh shit, everything's cracking and breaking." Like, I'll always limit myself of not doing something super ambitious because I wouldn't be able to handle that. I'd freak out and give up and start crying and fall on the floor.
I know, and that was it. And everything said give up. There was a million prompts to give up.
Like, if I ever do a cosplay, it'll be one that's made out of clothes.
Right. But I just, more. When I looked at this, I just said, it's the character needs to be done right. Like, yeah. There's no way, I just didn't see a way to skimp on it. There was a casual.
There was Wooly.
Yeah.
It was called Ghetto Overwatch Cosplay. Yes.
Just and strap fact, a dead frog to your chest.
No, the funniest part is there was an official out I could have taken where prototype Lucio in the, concept art was just wearing baggy blue pants.
That's too.
Right? Like straight.
No one would really recognize. Well, people would recognize
but I was just like, nah.
And there's an easier gotta out that worked really well for Kenny because his hair works a lot better with that costume.
Oh, yeah.
Where he went for the purple hockey alt, mm-hmm. which is like 95% off the shelf hockey equipment.
Yep.
I'm getting that in the States must be impossible because they don't know what it is.
But you know, I knew what I was signing up for, but I didn't. But I did. And then I just fucking whatever. And the thing is eventually, like, when it got to the point where it's like, yeah, getting shit FedEx to my room that day and, like, getting friends coming into town to drop stuff off that, you know, couldn't stick around and stuff, it was like, it was really, really clutch. But they all came through. And, you know, for the last half of Saturday, I was able to rock it. And it was a hit. I think it did really well. People really liked it.
Yeah, well, I was going down to the lobby to go somewhere, and I saw you with, like, this fucking 6-year-old girl going, cool!
Yeah.
And you were doing a big pose, and like, oh, that's cool.
I think, Wooly, you should just skate around LaRonde and just get paid as a mascot.
Basically, at this point.
When people are throwing up after a ride, just be like, break it down next to them, and they'll get cheered up.
It's a shame that it was a character like Lucio, because if you were some kind of like, no, like, follow me here. If you were some kind of daunting, imposing figure, you could pretend that the costume was cracking under your, like, unrelenting power.
Or intimidating glare.
But that doesn't quite work for Lucio, who's like a laid-back healer.
If you're like a Reinhardt, you know?
No, just got a smile. Mm. Can't, you know. Anyway, but I'm still not done with it, of course. I didn't go in crazy on this just to wear it once.
Fuck
you.
So I'm gonna make some mods to make things work better, including I want to get the speaker inside the actual gun to play music. And I'm gonna break that out again. Be a good time. I'm gonna break it down. Continue to break it down. Also,
consistently and thoroughly.
Yes, and of course, and
when Lucio's not on screen, people should be asking, where's Reinhardt? Lucio? What?
But you know, shout outs to the Overwatch bunny girls that I took the shot with.
Yeah, I bet shout outs
to that
fucking pimp ass picture.
Right. Shout outs, of course, to Kevin and Kelvin, who did a quick shoot.
Yeah, what a great unit of measure.
Did a quick shoot, although we're gonna do the proper one this weekend at Otakuthon.
Are you gonna do it for that too?
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool, makes sense.
And hopefully, like, things won't be a little like, because there's some parts that are falling off of me, and I'm gonna sort out the problems. Because you have to do a test wear with armor. I didn't realize this, but when armor cosplay,
see how it moves with you once, then make adjustments.
Exactly,
okay.
Exactly. Shout outs to. At the Takahata's party, Trainer Patrick.
Yeah, right? Awesome Pat.
Right, Trainer Patrick, who...
Sorry, he's your Brennan.
Oh, damn it.
He's taller than you, looks kind of like you, and is buff and is a personal trainer.
Fitness trainer.
Works for Trader Joe's and gives free chocolate to everyone.
And
well, I'm not going to beat that.
He just basically, like, I had a really in-depth conversation with him. About just fitness and boxing and stuff, because I hit a I'm at the plateau now. I've hit the stopping point where it's like, all right,
time to either get for real or continue at your plateau.
That easy melting off your body weight point has stopped.
Your beginner gains have completely stalled out.
You are stalled, will now fight through it or give the fuck up.
Not to discourage you, but like, I reached a plateau where, like, for weeks nothing was changing, and like, I didn't burst through that wall.
It's been a solid month where I haven't gone down from where I hit, you know, and I'm doing the same things.
You might have to start eating things you do.
I had a similar plateau recently when we got home from Hamilton. My girlfriend and I took separate flights, and I got home, and the first thing I did was run back to my fridge and start eating a bunch of ice cream. And I was like, oh, man, I'm halfway through this ice cream. I don't know if I can finish it. And then I got a text message from my girlfriend going, what do you want for dinner? Like, what do you want to do for dinner? And like, uh-oh, I got to eat all the rest of this now. And
quick.
I powered through it.
Gotta hide it.
Yeah. Gotta hide it in my fucking body.
Yeah. No one will look in there.
So if I can do that, you can do anything.
Mm.
Ice cream was so good.
Trainer Pat talked me through all of it and about, you know, the expected plateau and how to break through it and what to do and stuff. And,
similar to that running wall that I hear about.
Yeah, it's almost as if, like, it's kinda his job or something.
Almost.
To talk you
so
through.
So here's the trick. Just don't. Uh-oh.
So that was really motivating as well. Just in terms of things outside of that, I guess, I would want to talk about, the fact that,
yes.
I got to watch at least the first episode of Stranger Things.
Damn it, I still forgot to watch it.
Okay, let me know when I can tag in on this.
By the way, Liam's not here.
Oh, yeah.
Because
this is a 10 a.m. podcast.
This is a 10 a.m. podcast. It's nice and early. And
yeah,
Liam did that thing that I think we've all pulled at one point where he messages at 4:30. It's like, I'm fucked.
Yeah.
Like, and there's no way.
The hero of the weekend was melatonin.
Yep.
Which
I gotta go get.
Yep. It does wonders for your
sleep. Let me sleep through your snoring.
There you go.
So I can barely say the word melatonin, and I usually just take a shortcut where I say mitochondrians or
say melanin,
or I say metachlorians. So, yeah. I just like, Leanna takes it on occasion. I'm like, take your mitochlorians.
Yeah.
I feel like a couple times I accidentally did in fact say melanin.
There you go.
Which is like, that's a very different tone.
Yeah.
Cause I need it.
And you know, if you can sleep through my snoring, you can sleep through the church bells that were going off.
You can sleep through a kaiju.
You can sleep through the fucking impending Pokemon gang war.
All of that.
That we
all
joked about.
Oh my god.
And me and Wooly got to see like the start, like the rumblings.
Yeah.
Where like a bunch of drunk people at that Sheraton bar were getting
so the start
real rowdy.
The start of it is pure West Side Story, like Mystic Instinct
meow,
Mystic Instinct
meow,
you know, and then by the end of it,
Valor, shut the fuck up.
And by the end of it, it's just like, I fucking said Valor, bitch.
Well, they were trying to out chant each other, and people were starting to jump up and down, and beers were sloshing.
Yeah.
And people were grabbing a hold of people to scream in their face.
Like, I will fully admit, during the Instinct chant, I came in at the end and went, Zapdos!
Someone showed me this animated GIF during the weekend where it's just a GIF from the Warriors, and it's just, it says Team Instinct on their car, and it's the fucking assholes going, Valor, come out and play!
Yeah.
God, man.
Stranger Things, though.
Stranger Things. Watch the first episode. Fucking amazing.
Yeah.
I'm hooked. It's super hard.
And that's not even it's good, but it's not like a hook, like, oh shit, I can't wait.
Everything was perfect and firing.
It's all intriguing.
All cylinders. It's all that Super 8 feeling that I love.
If I wasn't already completely sold, I saw a post on our subreddit, which was, hey, did anybody else mark out when this song played in Stranger Things?
Oh yeah.
And it was a link to the Metal Gear Solid 5 soundtrack. I don't remember the song, but I remember hearing it and going, this is a Silent Hill song. It even has some of the same instrumentation.
Dude, there's some amazing musical choices.
A lot.
That
a
they
lot.
Play in
music
that.
Music, like, is actually a focal point, really.
It really strongly is. Sometimes it drowns out the visuals. But in general, it was one of the things where I hit the end of the first episode and I was like, that was amazing. Then I was like, fuck, I watched that first episode with my girlfriend.
Oh, you stupid fuck.
Now I'm going to be timed, like, I'm going to be delayed on that because it's a pair watch. I can't do it solo. I'm going to have a talk about that.
Because Leanne and I just burned through it in like one day.
Mm.
And I just have a few random things to say because I finished it. It's incredible. One of the strongest opening title crawls and like how they introduce episode names ever.
Yeah.
Like very simple, incredibly effective.
That
must have seen
80s.
It like, hey, I'm going to write this in the Stranger Things font and it just says marshmallows and it looks ominous as fuck and it's the word marshmallows or whatever. And like, yeah, just, you know, we'll talk about it all, I guess, when we all see it.
When we can do a spoiler cast.
So next week.
There was one thing that it brought to mind, though, was just something that exclusively happens when you're watching things on Netflix.
Yeah.
Is, you finish the first episode and the last, like, shot of the first episode cuts to the credits, and then you go, you press the back button, and then you go back to the main Stranger Things like, yeah, image. And it's like, fuck me already. That's a spoiler in some way. Just in a basic, like.
That's why you never hit back. That's why you use the episode selector, right? To just roll on through.
Cause the generic image, you go back to them like, oh, I figured something else out
from that. But really quickly, there's like.
You're too smart.
Not that I want to nitpick on something, but something did bother me. And it could be our TV. We're watching an older TV.
I'm going to guess it's a black level problem.
It's a black level problem where I don't know, but like, it's actually so black and some places, like when they're in a forest or whatever, that it was hard seeing a few scenes. I don't know whether that's our problem or not, but
big problem.
I'd have to check it out. And the other thing I was going to say until we go is that, like, yeah, I love it. It's awesome. Blah blah blah.
The
sheriff character that you do meet in the first episode, mm-hmm, is like one of the most like 80s and non 80s characters where you go, oh right, the sheriff who has a past.
Yeah,
and he like goes on to be like one of the most incredible characters. I'm like, this is such a good role. This actor is like great. He must be relishing this, where he's like, oh my God, you are so awesome. Whereas like an authority like figure in an 80s movie, like a sheriff, a police officer, a detective, whatever, like usually has the same type of arc where I don't believe any of you. This is
a bunch of shit.
And will actually impede the heroes type stuff. Yeah, yeah. And they just do
quit hanging around here, you stupid curds.
They just do different things with him, and he's just one of my favorite characters.
You're one of the Kane boys, aren't you?
Fiction. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He could just be turned into that. And yeah. They just go a different direction with him, and he's just awesome.
Goddamn, those Dukes of Hazzard.
Yeah. No, I'm all in on that. Really happy to see how the latest episode of Diamond is Unbreakable turned out.
The latest.
That's the one with the weirdo that I hate.
Shigechi gets introduced, and
meanwhile they were talking about Shigechi like at the fucking airport, and I'm like, remember how fucking weird this was? He's like, no. Oh
it's a total weird pacing point, but in the end, it's like, nah, dude, it's fucking great. And the thing with that in particular, though, is during those hijinks moments where you had the, I don't know if you guys saw the Photoshop of Ed, Ed, and Eddie Josuke, Okuyasu, and Shigechi, but like, you kind of just have these like fucking running around doing stupid shit for the entire episode moments. And the facial expressions the characters make when they go from dead serious JoJo faces, but they're talking about the dumbest shit, like collectible coupons and the importance of getting them back for refunds. It's comedy platinum. Like, yeah. I fucking love it. Yeah. So, they've been doing that.
Matt,
super
you're not that familiar with part four. Nah, so like I want to dive
out. My most familiar part of part four is Jotaro going, what are you going to do if someone like kills you, and he's like, I don't know, die or whatever.
I feel you, your feelings. I really feel them.
The tone setter that me and Lee are talking about, it's the weirdest shift I've ever seen in anything, where there's multiple episodes detailing the rise of the supervillain of the plot, and a character that imparts their goal of, like, you gotta stop the super, and it's super dark and ominous, like, we're gonna get him, and then you see the guy, and he's like, oh, that dude's scary and for real, and then it's like fucking Scooby-Doo nonsense for like 100 pages.
Dude, like, we're talking like excuses to show, like, here's your main character doing things where he's like, nah, this, my character's too noble to do this, I can't scum this kid out, it's money, I gotta be reasonable.
Fuck it, I'll steal his coupons.
Yeah, like, I gotta find an even better way to steal his money. Like, fucking just pure scumbaggery. And you want to draw your contrast between Jonathan and Joseph.
Yeah.
But you gotta do that for Jotaro and this new fucking kid. So it's like, how do you do it? You have him just straight up stealing money and being a fucking dirtbag best way. It's great. Mm. So that's fun. And, well, whatever, I guess not much else to go into, like, until I finish the Daigo book, which I'm, like, a few pages away from finishing it, but still recommending it, still a really strong read. I'll give a more in-depth review once I'm done, though.
Mm-hmm.
That's it for now.
Since you said you're reading stuff, usually cons have time to, you know, read a comic or two. And I showed you guys some of one. But,
That one's so weird. Finally read
All New Wolverine, which I've been meaning to find forever. And when we, at Montreal Comic Con, no one had the trade paperback of it. So I got through that, and like, I was talking to Liam about this. Don't really like X-23 having her long hair just randomly coming out of the back of Wolverine's mask.
So it is X-23.
It's totally X-23. And cause that looks like female Wolverine, but she's not supposed to be the female Wolverine. She's Wolverine. She inherited the mantle and Logan in this.
The dumb spandex costume.
And her form is womanly already. It's not like she's super, like, curvaceous. She's X-23.
Unless you get that Bishojo figure.
I don't mind the hair sticking out the back, but I would have liked if she had her own spin on the costume.
Well, the spin is the hair sticking out of the back. Yeah. That's the only difference.
And the boots,
really.
The boot, you know.
Oh, well, the boots is like her claws coming out of her feet too as well, but like, it's still really, really good. I need to read more of it because it was kind of like a standard Wolverine story. She's just, you know, fighting this threat. That's pretty much it, but yeah. It was still really well written, a really good scene where she flashbacks to Wolverine, like teaching her some shit, mm-hmm. which was like never, like it's not a flashback to a previous event. It's like a flashback to just a random moment that they had, which was cool.
I'm assuming, cause I haven't read it, but I'm assuming that likely what they're doing at this point is like the Batman Beyond style. Like, okay, new person inherits the name and the gown and the cowl,
yeah,
rather.
That's what it is.
How do we show the difference between what the old character was and who this new person is?
They totally do that. I won't go much into it, but. There's a scene that kind of exemplifies this where, she meets up with, Stephen Strange for a wacky little side. Yeah. Help me, Doctor Strange. And, it like this really sets up the Doctor Strange movie, what you can expect, where people just walk into Strange's place and go, what the fuck?
Yeah,
Holy shit. That cabinet winked at me. And he's like, and then he's like, nah, don't worry about that. There's some type of Cthulhu. And he's like, nah.
No, that's cool. Right? No, that's so, Jimmy.
There's this one bit of dialogue where he goes, like, you know, she explains something and Strange looks into her mind and goes, wow, you've went through some shit, but you have all this rage in you, but you can control it, channel it. Logan could never really get over that, like 100%. But you are still your father's daughter.
Right.
And he's like, that's really impressive. You're the only person that could inherit this mantle. And then X-23 just goes, yeah, I guess so. I'm pretty sure I can, but a lot of guys on the internet don't think I can. And I'm
funny.
Like, that's pretty good.
Though I kind of like,
I love the addition of the internet to comic continuity.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I don't want to just see like, you know, like the mystical being tell you that this is the person that can do it. Like you want to see the right story that goes, this is something that she can do that Wolverine wouldn't have done. You want to see that moment where, you want to see that moment
where, what would Wolverine have done? He would have cut through the thing. What would X-23 have done? Open the door, maybe.
Or just like Star Platinum grabbed that shit and got fucking owned.
Yeah.
And Josuke was like,
ew, gross. I'm gonna block with a frying pan.
And totally survived.
Because it's icky.
You know? You want that, the nice frame
ew,
of
turtles
a,
are nasty.
And the other thing I read, which I showed you guys, is like, Web Warriors.
Yeah.
Which some people are familiar with. There's this image that went around Tumblr and Twitter and stuff. And I guess you guys hadn't seen it because when I showed it to you, you were like,
we all marked
what?
Out a little bit.
But I had seen it before without context. And Web Warriors is like all Spider-Man and Spider-Women, all continuities get together in this like, you know, fulcrum point of all realities to go, we're going to go in all the dimensions that have lost their spiders and fight the threats that are there.
And also P.S. fuck up Electro real bad.
Yeah, because all Electros in all continuities decide there's a fucking T-Rex that's wearing an Electro costume.
Well, considering he's got electricity powers, you could make the jump to parallel whatever,
yeah.
You know?
So they don't, they're not super, super organized, but what they have is a type of danger room where they go back to 60s cartoon Dickory Spider-Man world.
Yes.
To train because the threat level here is zero. Because, because Spider-Gwen just swings and she hits the lizard and there's just this vague yellow impact.
Fappo!
And she goes, what the hell? Like, how is he down in one shot? There was just this weird burst of light and whatever, I guess. And swings, and she goes, how are my webs sticking to nothing? They're just attaching to the air? This place is awesome! And even Spider-Ham goes, I just shot you with my webbing, and it just went into a weird butterfly net, and now you're captured forever. This is sick! And then Spider-Man Noir goes, our spider senses don't even trigger here.
Fucking great.
No, they don't even work. Level.
Fucking and great. Then,
they have the exact same dumb image of Spider-Man whenever he swings towards the camera in the old 60s cartoon. Yeah. And he swings in and goes, walloping web snappers. All these guys are caught already. That's another, like, great victory for your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. And then swings away going, bleh! And then, like, Spider-Gwen goes into a building and she sees 60s Spider-Man standing, sitting behind the desk.
But yes!
With the picture of him on the wall right next to it.
With his neck at desk level.
And Spider-Man going, what are you doing? And that's just like one little, that's just like 1 3-page spread of like a larger story. But that thing is just leave your brain at the door.
Yeah.
Just dumb. Like, let's have fun with all this stuff.
Do they run into Venom anywhere in that?
They run into, no, not Venom. I don't think he really appeared, but they run into 1602 Carnage.
Okay.
So it's a guy that thinks he's possessed by demons.
Okay.
And it's a symbiote, but like he's like, I'm captured by the devil. The devil has me.
In all honesty, that's a pretty fair poll.
In that time period, that makes sense. So,
okay.
That was really fun.
Pause that thought. We have some sponsors. You know, I think if we look at the things that the heroes that Matt tends to draw himself towards. Well, I wouldn't quite say hero.
Ego.
Right. No, not the Living Planet. No, okay, well, there we go.
What about Stripperella?
No, I'm not a fan of Stripperella. Not one of Stan Lee's best creations.
But, like, you know, little Matt had an affinity towards the protagonists in general that had a bit of an edge to them, a darker edge, or a little bit more...
I didn't really, but I know where you're going with this.
Right,
so
they were a little bit more, like... They're willing to do the dirty things. They weren't all about the clean, happy-go-lucky images, right? Mm. You know, Superman can't wear a skull on his chest. He's got to be a big
Superman
hero.
Superman would never sneeze like that, like a weirdo.
Yeah,
no, he wouldn't. You know? And how many people... Like, Spider-Man wouldn't take on the title of a lethal protector.
No, he wouldn't.
Right?
Well, he tried that one time. It didn't go out so well.
But you know what kind of hero would...
Who?
An anti-hero.
Oh.
Right?
Okay.
So this month's theme in Loot Crate is anti-hero.
So when you open up this Loot Crate, does the Punisher is just holding a gun like when Marge opens up her eyes and Homer has a gun pointed straight at her face?
Is there a Santa Claus head with like a chain around it?
Yeah.
And it's got like From Lobo written on it?
Oh,
Lobo, that's
Lobo
a good anti-hero a there. Anti-hero. Yep, yep.
You know who's an anti-hero? Darkhawk. And Shadowhawk.
Spider Jerusalem from Transmetropolitan.
Whoa.
There's your anti-hero.
That's some obscure shit.
You've got, you know, there's a whole budding cast out there of guys that do the right thing and girls that do the right thing. Not really because they're supposed to, but because it suits them at the time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's what this box is all about.
Or they do the wrong thing and they think it's the right thing.
Or they do the wrong thing at the right time.
Yeah.
Ah.
Punisher, don't shoot that baby. But that baby's Hitler.
Well, you should probably shoot it.
Yeah.
Okay, but has that baby Hitler committed its first crime?
It's grown its mustache.
Okay, well, now it's got to go.
Yep.
Hitler baby.
So, if you head on down to lootcrate.com/super and you enter the promo code
Hitler.
Super... You're signing up. Here's what you're getting. You're getting yourself the Loot Crate package deal. You're getting a Loot Crate to your month, to your door every month. And in
to your month, every door.
And in that every door month comes that box. And in that box includes...
Is it the month box?
gear, apparel, collectibles, one-of-a-kind items, all that good stuff with the themes that we are talking about.
Mm.
In this case, the anti-hero theme that's going to explore exclusive items from DC, from Dark Horse, from Kill Bill, and, of course, a collectible tee. So,
the Bride isn't an anti-hero.
The Bride is an anti-hero because when she was Black Mamba...
And also you get the feeling that
anyone who gets in the Bride's way during the execution of her goals, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly.
You're right.
That girl deserves her revenge and we deserve to die, as does anyone that happens to be in her way.
Yeah, sure. Well, why'd you stand there?
You know? So, all that being said, could you imagine, like, 88 limbs? That'd be great. If you want to get yourself on that train, you head on down to lootcrate.com/super, promo code super, and that's pretty much it. And if you get in before the 19th of this month, which you have a lot of time to do, you can get in on that anti-hero box. The world could always use more anti-heroes. Thanks, Loot Crate.
Thanks,
Loot Crate.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, edgelords back in the day, I thought edgelords were kind of dumb. And I love, like, Spider-Man and stuff. And I actually thought the Punisher was like, he's kind of lame. And it's only really Garth Ennis. Anyway.
I thought it was the Battle Van that did it for you.
No, Battle Van. I thought the Battle Van was dumb as shit.
I thought it was cool.
Well, now it's cool. But,
Battle Van.
You need to find somebody that's obsessed with Micro. That just has shirts of Micro everywhere.
You gotta get some, like, Command & Conquer Generals players in.
And aside from, like, any of that, I finished Lucha Underground.
Hey, season one.
Fucking awesome, strong, strong ending. And like I was telling the Arcadia guys, who are now super on board.
Strong ending.
To wrestling.
Wrestling.
So
get the fuck out of here.
Wrestling doesn't end, dumbasses. What are you talking about?
So good.
I started up season two. I'm about 4 episodes into that. And it's an anime in the sense that we're now in the new arc, which is now dubbed by Matt Stryker as the Decade of Death or the Age of Death. He says something like that. So it starts new. Like, there's a time jump as well.
Oh, my God.
I told Willie a bit about this, Pat, but this isn't really spoilers. But when season one ends, they kind of need a transitional, all right, things are wrapping up. And I won't say who, but certain wrestlers get into their twisted metal vehicles and drive off as their send-off for now. They have specialized vehicles, like WWE Crush Hour actually is a more appropriate thing. And they drive off, and you see them get into these vehicles, and they're like, we'll see you next time.
Yeah.
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 So, I'm not gonna say anything about season two other than, like, it's better. It's even better and flips the script in certain ways, but it's still the same thing. So it's better. It's different, but it's the same thing. Like, where it counts is where it counts. And they hinted at the new big superstar that enters the scene. I'm just like, I wish I wasn't here right now. I wish I was at home watching it, but what can you do? So I'm really gonna burn through that. And the last kind of thing is by the time this goes up, it's gonna be fine. It'll be all be revealed. But today is the, marriage proposal anniversary day. Not the birthday of Crime Tina.
No,
it's the marriage proposal anniversary.
Let's focus on the good things.
Yeah,
it's right?
Focus on the good things. She has some bad, memories going on with her birthdays because of, like, a previous relationship.
And
so
hasn't had any horrible memories with the marriage yet.
Not yet. So that's why I proposed to her on her birthday to make it, like, forget about that, but have this. So I decided to buy her a baby rider. A Vespa. And unfortunately,
Vespas are fucking dope.
You know what? You know who thinks Vespas are fucking dope?
Everyone?
Well, everyone,
Ash
but
Crimson.
Specifically fucking women, girls, anything like that. They love Vespas. Every girl wants a Vespa, it seems. So, that's being delivered today.
The pillows love Vespas.
And what we hope to do, because I couldn't get it done in time because of, we had our con or whatever, is I want to get it customized, want to get it pink, and probably gonna dub it the Sweet Baby on the side.
Mm. That like Photoshop that. Already exists.
Well, that's Sweet Baby Rider.
Yeah, Sweet Baby
but,
Rider.
But they just have it
pink skulls or
no, just probably okay. Pink is fine, and on okay. The side is Sweet Baby. One of the license plate to say Sweet Baby.
SWTBBY.
Yes, Sweet Baby. So I'm looking forward to that. Been a really stressful weekend.
SWAT Baby.
I was going to say, why does that plate say SWAT Baby?
SWAT Baby. So, it's kind of any on non-con stuff. That's, I also play Marvel Ultimate Alliance. That port is bad.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Oh, don't even try the PC port. The console port is not great.
Apparently, statement came out saying we're going to fix it.
Hey, but, fuck off.
Oh, we're going to put
I'm at that
all,
point now.
We're going to put in all the DLC that we didn't put initially, but that everyone's screaming, how did you not put all the DLC in this? Because you're charging $50.
Well, that was the shortest turnaround time from last week's, hey, this is coming out. Oh, cool. To this week's, well, fuck.
We're fixing that.
I am now at the point where if a game comes out and it's fucking busted and we get an apology saying we're going to fix it, I'm done. I don't care.
Pat,
like,
for the
fuck
PC
you.
Version, like in Jim Sterling's video, the UI doesn't work right. You can't rebind the controls. Xbox One and 360 controllers don't work right.
Are like you it, for real?
Yeah. This is an Activision port. It's not like it is ported by...
Nicholas.
Yeah. And it was like a Marvel guy went out and said, we're going to fix this. Because that makes Marvel games look good and Activision look bad.
Great.
Because the Marvel guy like swooped in a press release, like you said, mm-hmm. where he's saying, oh, wow, yeah, we're going to fix this. Don't you worry. So it's like Marvel gets the credit for it.
That's
it's
a fucking bunch of
shit. Because
they hired the guy to be their new face.
Yeah.
You know?
And get almost celebrated.
And it's like the other, it's like when you get, like, almost like the Sonic Twitter account where it's like you get a new guy that's taking care of your stuff and he's quick to respond to anyone's emails about, hey, what's going on or whatever, then you get to take all of it.
It's like when I go on the Twitter or Matt goes on the Twitter and you're like, hey, fuck you, American Airlines.
Yeah.
There's someone there, always there.
Watching. Waiting
be like,
to not really be able to do anything.
I know
to solve
someone's
your
talking shit about American Airlines.
Right now.
Because they're the worst
it.
Flight company ever.
Worst one.
I like how that someone wrote a message that was like, man, fucking Trailways Wi-Fi is always down. What a piece of shit. And Trailways US retweeted that. Because it's like, hey, you're talking about Trailways. Good job.
Our
man.
Internet seems to work if we're retweeting shit. Anyway.
Oh, we man. Understand.
Yeah, so aside from con stuff, there you go.
You?
I want to give a shout out to all the Stormfeelers and a few members of Bird Squad that made it out to the con. It was great to see you guys.
Stormfeelers is taking on a new meaning at this point, though. No what? Shelter from the storm is the instinct's mantra.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I've seen that a couple times.
Well, that's great.
There you go.
Because like team that like me and a bunch of the other officers are all Team Instinct. So the fucking FC is Team Instinct now by default.
And, you know, and when you have your Bird Squad shirt and people look at that and they're like, that's not a Moltres.
Yeah, that was, a weird moment a couple times. Let's see. Did I play anything or watch anything new? Not really, honestly. I was glad to see everybody at the con. It was a lot of fun. Hamilton is a scary place. I guess
your homework should be either Lucha Underground or Stranger Things. You don't have to do both.
Yeah,
but you've
I know.
One.
I because it's just so easy to hit next on that Law and Order queue.
Yep.
It's
so easy.
Ice-T is such a good bad actor. I don't know. It's weird.
He's Ice-T. He's not acting, but he's acting natural, you know?
Mm-mm. The only real thing of new I have to say is something about Monster Hunter, so you guys can turn your brains off while I talk to
you. I'm already on my phone.
I'll try to engage here.
Is it about Strider?
No, it's not, but that's Strider. I don't think that Strider shit's in the game yet.
God damn it.
But I finally got to engage with one of the new gimmicks, which is the deviant monsters. So they've always had this thing in hunting games, and well, you might know this if you talk to Liam a bunch. It's like you have a monster, let's call it the Rathalos, that's the guy, and then you have the blue version,
yeah,
right, or you have the silver version, right,
yeah.
And they're not just stronger. They have new attacks, they have new moves, they have new behaviors. Right, so, like, the Rathalos is a dragon that spins his tail and shoots fire and shit like that. the Azure Rathalos spends nearly the entire fight flying.
Okay.
And it's a fucking pain in the ass.
Shiny DT.
And you have to hit him with flash bombs to knock him down to the ground, shit like that. And the silver one has a super, super strong head and tail, so it's really hard to break his parts.
Okay.
Stuff like that. So that's been a way for the series to always, like, add more monsters without actually spending the time to really make more stuff.
And I'm assuming it result in different colored armor sets.
They result in completely different gear.
Okay. Yeah,
then that's the subspecies thing. And every game has their variant. They added something in this called Deviants, which I thought was just going to be a different, like, it's like that. And it's 12 of them have deviant versions where they're not different species. They're just, this particular one is super fucked up. And it is the difference of going between Ryu and Ken and going between Ryu and Sagat.
Okay.
Like,
so you follow the same behaviors, but that Rathalos is a chronic masturbator.
Well, it's something like that. Well, the example is that the one that I was fighting all of last night is Rathian, which is it's a dragon that does backflips and poisons you with its tail, and it's a real fucker. This one does all sorts of new bullshit that completely changes it. It has a poison that can't be antidoted off.
Okay.
It has a poison that lasts for like 2+ minutes instead of like 40 seconds. It has a charge attack where instead of charging and breathing fire, it'll spin and leave poison gas on the ground for like 20 seconds. Right? And unlike every other version of the thing, you have to break its tail twice to turn that shit off.
How long does it take to heal and or depoison yourself?
You have to eat an item which gives you, like, it locks you in place in an animation lock, which is like a 5-second ordeal. Okay. So oftentimes you'll get poisoned with the one that that lasts forever. You're like, oh crap, I need to heal. And then you see it turn to face you and you're like, oh, it's going to charge. I'm fucking dead. I just killed myself. Like, it's very similar to Dark Souls in that respect.
Yeah.
And unlike the regular loot system, they basically drop tokens that you get their armor set right away, like really early in the game. And as you fight stronger versions of them, you then just upgrade that set with tokens. And they become sets that can't be modified in any way. They don't have any slots, but they have unique abilities that are super nuts. And probably the weirdest thing is that I was looking at it, it's like, oh, the first one, the easy one is a kill quest. That's fine. The second one is like a capture quest. That's okay. The third one is fight 3 monsters at the same time.
Okay.
The fourth one is fight it and its slightly weaker cousin simultaneously. The fifth one is fight 2. The sixth one is fight 2 and it's slightly weaker, like, and so on and so forth. Okay. And they still get new stuff as you go
with
up.
Each, wow.
It's wow. Even Monster Hunter Gen has 71 large monsters, and 4U had 74, and a lot of people were mad because G-Rank isn't in it, which is the whole third tier of stuff. But these Deviants there's 12 of them. You have to fight them at least 30 times each to get their gear completely specced out.
In different ridiculous
and combinations. And that's like, assuming you have the ability to do it, that's like 8 hours per.
Wow.
So, like, they added a new endgame that wasn't garbage bullshit, like fighting they always put some super dragon at the end of the game that could kill anybody in one hit and had beam weapons that would hit the whole fucking stage. And it was always infuriating. They're called Fataluses, and I hate them. And I know a lot of people that stop the game as soon as they get there. It's like, oh, it's Crimson Fatalis time? Okay, fuck this game. But having a new, like, real endgame that has, every time you do it, you have a little bit of a bump in power, it makes a huge difference. And I really want to see them go, like, farther
and
with that.
One for each monster.
One for each of the 12 major special ones.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Though the only thing that I don't like about it, the picks are weird. Like, so it's 12 out of, like, 140 monsters total that they've picked. Some of them are obvious. Like, there's Rathalos. He's the guy in the box all the time, right? There's this one. There's that one. There's the classics. Then there's losers like Volvadon, which is a stupid lava bear that's a fucking jobber. Or Legombi, which is a giant bunny rabbit. It's a fucking loser. And it looks like you're wearing, like, a parka when you wear its stuff. You're like, what the fuck? Who cares about Legombi? And then they change it, so it's like, oh, this is actually a fight worth doing. So I guess the best way to explain it is that the Deviants are Omega Mode. First Street Fighter 4. In that, not only are they weird and different and a cool remix, but you look at that and you look at the styles and you go, that's gonna be Monster Hunter 5 stuff.
Okay.
That's going to be new systems. They're going to move away from random stuff. They're going to go towards tokens. They're moving away from subspecies and more towards, like, radically completely different movesets.
Testing out new shit.
Like, a bunch of them have new mechanics. Like, the poison cloud mechanic is unique to that monster.
That's a really smart way of testing shit out, honestly. I think
bonus content
using existing material exactly, and just changing the design around.
Yeah,
so you get to preview how people respond to it, how it works, if it's fair, if it's not. You know, it worked really great for Omega Mode.
Yeah,
yeah,
and that's how we got Street Fighter Bros. So yeah, that's it for me this week.
Okay.
I'll watch Stranger Things and Lucha at some point.
Yeah. It's a shame. I'm sure when Liam gets back, he'll regale his tales of small soldiers getting even more push.
Oh, God.
That's a great movie.
It was horrifying.
Tommy Lee Jones is a monster.
He brought it, and everyone was like, yeah, I guess. And then as people were watching it, Taka and Scribble, they're like, Yeah. I remember now. And it was horrifying in some spots. Like, they're scary, so.
Let's crack open the biggest.
Fresh bottle of news.
Fattest shell.
Oh, Christ. Liam's missing this. Holy fuck.
I know.
I'm gonna fill in with what he's. So, me and Liam talked about this for hours before the last near, playthrough. So.
Let's break it down.
Me and him agree on everything.
Let me introduce the story. The Nintendo NX
is super leaked.
Here are all the details, according to a source that reported to Eurogamer.
And then I saw Wall Street Journal and Kotaku saying, we don't have sources to confirm this, but this is everything that we heard.
It is a handheld system with a screen that's bookended by two controller sections that you can attach
pop
and
off,
detach.
Yep.
So the screen itself is like a tablet that has a built-in stand, and then the left
it
side...
It has a stand?
It has a stand.
In the image it does.
And
oh, I thought... Right, Joe.
And so the left side and the right side of the screen are look like your Wii U gamepad controllers, where you've got stick and D-pad on one side, stick and buttons on the other, and those become two controllers.
Yeah.
I'm assuming there'll be like almost like nunchucks you hold.
Yeah. Right? I assume you'll be able to, if they clap onto the screen, you can also clap them onto each other to make a unified controller.
That'd be
clap
a really
off.
Weird small controller.
Yeah, well.
You know?
It's gonna be weird.
Unless they attach sideways,
yeah.
So that you're getting a long, like, Wiimote-shaped thing where you have stick, D-pad, button, stick, you know?
It's powered by anything from a Tegra 1 and up. Like, currently the dev kits have Tegra 1s, which is a NVIDIA mobile chip that they use for a lot of phones and stuff. That this thing is, that chip alone is, it's like stronger than a 360 or PS3. So it would, like, blow the Vita out of the water, no question.
And so what they're basically going for is this is a handheld that will play everything, and then when you get home...
And you can just put it into your TV.
You play it off the TV, exactly. And all of the guts are in the controllers, actually.
So there's no cross-buy because...
You don't need to.
Because you don't need it, it's both.
It's just HDMI out. And then, in theory, also because... It has the power to, it's spitting out a higher resolution to your TV than it would to the screen. So you could actually get games that look better
on
just
TV
by playing them at home.
Yeah, that depends whether or not they put like a discrete GPU in the dock or if they're downsampling on the handheld side. I would like it that they are actually overpowering the handheld so that the handheld graphics are like downsampled to fuck on 540p and then they just become 1080 on your home television.
The biggest and coolest, I guess, gamble here is the thing that we took many guesses, but one of the early guesses we took was that, yeah, Nintendo merging handheld and console divisions to become one strong division.
I don't know if this was so much of a guess, but it's what me and Liam wanted. The most.
Well, I think that's still
like, I think,
well,
I think,
where, to a guess.
Well, no, but because like, I think we anti-guessed it a few times because we're like, that would be the smartest thing ever. Nintendo will never do it.
But it's like, what is their most powerful, like, division?
It's their handheld division.
You know,
it's
struggling? What stands to make the most money? All right.
And of course, it combines both your teams.
Exactly. So you have,
like, so every game is on the one product that you're
putting
out.
Nintendo's not splitting their development costs anymore.
You have a united message.
Yeah.
And your message is this one new NX.
And again, like, yeah, it looks like fine or good or whatever on outside, and then yeah, you bring it home, and like you could, it could just stay in your house the entire time.
Yeah. Really. So right. the idea of a portable handheld of this type, something that, you know, me and Liam have argued over and over about portables and consoles and all that shit, and it's just like, he's like, no, I want people to be able to plug these in. It sucks that these things don't have proper TV outs, right? Yeah. And I was like, it's just like, mine will probably stay in its dock nearly forever unless I go to a convention, and Liam's will probably be out of its dock all the time because he's taking it on transit. It'll
be out
of
his dock more than
not. The fact that those games won't be split, the fact that I'll be able to play a Monster Hunter game that doesn't look like objective garbage, 240p is not enough, man.
Now,
it's fucking trash.
What hasn't been mentioned anywhere in this leak, but would be interesting to find out, is whether or not that's a touchscreen.
I bet it's a touchscreen.
Because if it is, that adds a whole lot of interesting...
If it's going to have anything else, like apps and shit, yeah, it has to...
Has to have a resistive because then you can passive have, touchscreen.
Yeah. Because then you have the ability to like have it function as a tablet for people, yeah, right? In a basic way for, like, at least it runs Netflix, internet, and whatever.
Whatever.
The other thing is, like...
And you can have off-screen applications for games.
I assume that all of this, like, this sounds to me like it's going to be expensive as fuck.
They haven't announced the price yet.
Like,
we don't
Nintendo
know.
Doesn't make things expensive as fuck.
Part of this is apparently that Nintendo got a stupid good-ass deal from NVIDIA.
Also, proprietary media in the form of cartridges.
Fucking yeah.
Honestly?
I don't know even why.
Because these are 32, and I'm going to assume eventually 64K carts.
Yes.
Which is fine. That's fine.
I want them back.
That, like, if it's a primarily handheld system that can also TV out at higher resolutions, 32 gigs is more than enough for any of the textures that you need.
I wonder if you'll be able to feel the weight of heavier game now.
Resident Evil 2 N64 was a fucking motherfucker.
The worst thing about cartridges was their cost to manufacture. Yeah, yeah. But the best thing about them is their load times.
Which
this
were non-existent.
Will,
or
like, this means awesome. That games on the NX should, barring technical hiccups, have barely any load times whatsoever. And that's fucking awesome.
Yeah. It would be really exciting to see a virtual console that pulls in both eShops together.
Yeah, yeah.
So you could play backwards compat on both fucking spectrums of console.
I have a strong feeling this thing will be
a complete reboot,
a complete new start reboot.
Might.
And it'll be because it's easier to completely start over now and go everything from this moment onwards.
Will always be.
And
yeah,
I don't know why it's stupid because it doesn't actually mean anything, but like the fact that it'd be a handheld device with a proper account system in my mind makes the NX a way better fit for the like, oh, here's the new version that's more powerful.
Yes.
Than the home consoles.
Also, you find a way to make it so that you don't need to exclusively buy this over the other console war that's raging. This can be
a
companion.
This is very much a companion or alternative device.
So, smart, good stuff. Sounds good.
And if Nintendo's doing, like, all their development on a single console, and it's the handheld one, right? And it's a lower power than the Wii, like, you could see actually like a Nintendo game every 1.5 months.
Yeah,
they could totally carry the thing by themselves.
There's a part of me that always wanted to someday see their return to the forefront.
They're getting even farther away from
that. But they're pulling away in that direction.
They're pulling away faster than you can hope harder.
There's a panel in Steel Ball Run at a point where the horses have to go left or right, and then the main character's like, nah, fuck it, we're going back, almost, we're going this other way, like, fuck you, and it's almost like that, and it's like, we're carving our own path here.
Like, my general thing is, like, not even to, like, fucking make sure that your roadmap for at least a year has some notable release.
Yep.
Doesn't even really have to be third parties because now you kind of have circumvented that by combining both your development teams. Like, have that retro game that literally hasn't been made for, it'll be going on 4 years since Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze.
Yeah.
Have that ready to go. Have like a Mario ready to go. Or you're already going to have a Zelda ready to go, like near launch or whatever. And just make sure that that's, cause that's almost always the biggest problem.
Yeah.
Confirmed games are Breath of the Wild, Dragon Quest XI, Project Sonic, Just Dance, and Pikmin 4.
Yeah. So Breath of the Wild being a portable game now is an awesome
thing. That's awesome. I just realized that.
Portable Zelda.
I just realized that like 2-3 minutes ago.
Because the way that that game seems to work where it's just like wander wherever the fuck.
Portable ops.
Oh yeah. Shit. Oh, I gotta go record at Woolies or whatever.
I'll play Zelda on the way,
because I'll just pick it up.
And then rumored titles include a new Mario Maker, a new Splatoon, and another Smash Brothers.
Yeah, fine.
So, this thing has to have a touchscreen. Like, if they're gonna put fucking Mario... Like,
Pikmin.
Mario Maker is the coolest thing that no one's playing because it's on the Wii U. And that's the one game that actually needs a touchscreen, for real. I'm thinking there, what could kill this in the cradle? Price?
I don't know. I don't even think I like.
Well, me and Liam were ping ponging back and forth between like 300-ish. And it's like, but 250 would be the number, right? 250 would be the perfect, awesome number.
Nah, I could see them like putting this on a price up to like anything like less than $500, not anymore, because things have been successful.
It's like an iPhone. Here's the deal. I can see a $300 version that's what we're talking about, and I can see a $500 version that is also a phone.
That would be a giant-ass phone.
Huge. Can't pocket that.
Dude, I have a big phone.
No. But this, like, think of the size of these images you're seeing. Like,
you know what
you're
it could
talking
have? It could just...
Like, iPad size.
No, this is not an iPad size, dude. This is a phone size.
No.
The screen size is not, like,
I don't know.
It's not going to be bigger than 6 inches.
So, like, well, all we have to go on are these leaked images. And when I see the sides of the controller where the D-pad is and the buttons.
Yeah, but Wooly, look, in one photo it's a square and in the other photo it's a rectangle. Like, these are not to scale.
All I have to go on in my head is something at least as large as the Wii U gamepad.
Okay, well that's insane. That, like, this, I, like, there's no screen data in this leak as to the size.
Yeah. Of course, no.
But, like, me and Liam were talking, like, 540p is kind of an ideal resolution because of the way it scales to 1080.
So you think this is going to be, like, Vita-sized?
I think this is going to be the size of the Vita screen.
Huh. I didn't see that at all. I saw this as a large tablet.
Right? And the sides that you pop on the sides are... literally just like the size of like a Vita's hand.
But then, no, here's, but then.
Like, Liam even referred to it when we were talking that, like, it's like a Super Vita.
But here's why that doesn't work, because separating the screen and putting it on its own, what's the point of having such a tiny screen resting on a table?
I don't know. That's a good point.
Tablet resting on a table makes sense, but a tiny screen like that needs to be up in your face. You know?
So, I don't know.
I think it's tablet size.
The other, well, if it is a tablet size, then yeah, more expensive.
Then it also can be a phone.
Hell, yeah. Yeah, you're right. But
now, what it could have is data. What it could have is actually be Wi-Fi compatible.
Yeah,
because
me and Liam were talking about this. It's like the fucking 3G Vita was the fucking stupid, like for what? For who? For what reason? But a 3G version of this thing, if it does console stuff, that would make sense. Mm. My big worry right now before we see it unveiled is battery life.
Battery life, yeah.
If
price.
If this thing has a fucking 3-hour battery life, then fuck it to death.
And Nintendo's flip-flop with sometimes its portables have great battery life, and sometimes they have poor battery life.
I bet what they're going to do is they're going to use a higher powered chip than they need to, like an X1.5 or an X2, right? The Tegra. And then they're going to underclock the shit out of it so that it gets like double the battery life.
Please don't make it have a proprietary adapter. Just make it USB mini.
Well, Nintendo's been pretty decent about that kind of thing. Like, they use microSD cards
at this
point.
Yeah, like, finally, yeah. Yeah. Comes pre-installed with Pokemon Go.
Of course it does. Yeah. Why wouldn't it?
Yep. Yeah. That's how you do it.
Okay. That's a great pack-in game.
Yep. Fucking, and a better version, you know?
No, that's not a pack-in game. That's an app that will always be on store.
That's the OS.
That's the OS. You've got to navigate through Pokemon Go to get to your other games.
No, you have to find games.
And then play them.
You have to like walk around like, oh, there's Breath of the Wild.
You found
download
Breath of the
it.
Wild quickly.
That's awesome.
Play it now.
I guess the last part worth mentioning is that Eurogamer also says that the unveil is supposed to be in September.
I can see that.
So we'll see if this is all accurate then.
Having their own event is always smart.
But I'm really excited. This is kind of what I wanted. So, Yeah.
Yeah. We got.
Big Excite. Very Shine.
Yep. Single source on the report, but, you know, it's believable because it sounds good.
I don't know, man. Like, I feel like that source is probably pretty legit for Eurogamer to blow their asses out like this.
Mm.
Right? Because they're gonna look really fucking stupid if it turns out to not be this.
Because the level of confidence that the article starts with is just straight up.
This is what the NX
will
Nintendo
be. The Nintendo NX is a hand. It is this. Yeah.
Yeah,
there's
yeah
no,
it reminds me of when Giant Bomb got a hold of those Neo PowerPoint things and blew open the Neo.
Right.
Like, it feels just like that.
So next, I'm gonna get into the other new direction that the video game industry is going in.
Porn!
You guys, of course, I'm sure, are familiar with
Fat.
Woman laughing alone with salad.
Yes.
The phenomenon.
Yes. That took the world by storm.
Took the world by storm. You squint. Pat is not certain of what I'm talking about. Can give him a quick reminder.
It's just stock images. There's a lot of them of women.
I'll give
that
you a quick reminder.
Oh, salad. There it is.
Of woman laughing alone with salad.
Oh yeah.
As
interested
just,
to know how you're going, how this links.
Oh, that's
to video
the one.
Games.
That's the one. Yeah. Okay.
So that was a thing that took the world by storm.
Ha ha ha. Salad.
We've now found 2016's version of this. The new woman laughing alone with salad is Shutterstock's virtual reality photos of people interacting.
Oh my god.
Oh, an ad.
Sound.
The ad is playing.
Sound.
Always.
Hold on a moment. Yeah. Sound needs to stop. There we go.
Oh, it's just really watching Street Fighter.
Okay, we're back. Virtual reality
Why
stock
is he
photos.
In a field of poppies.
Are unintentionally comic genius. Ed, you need to check this out.
This is from LA Mag.
LA, they just went
oh my
and
God.
Grabbed.
That
the
woman
best,
is literally having a heart attack.
The best and brightest.
Oh,
like,
man.
Let's get some pretty actors.
That makes no sense. What's happening
There's
there?
A woman typing on a laptop with a VR headset on, but she can't see her laptop. We're talking strong,
That's
strong
super
images
dangerous.
Of pretty people.
What?
With virtual reality headsets on, firing guns, hanging out in pools, getting assaulted by hanging telephones, and driving invisible cars.
That's the only one.
But there's no, there's no steering wheel that reacts to your hand. Everyone's driving invisible cars, but there's nothing to control in their hands. It's great.
That one's great.
It's
there's
great.
A naked woman.
It's I'm telling you, so you need to check this out.
What?
We found our new niche. We found our new groove. This is my aesthetic.
Oh, look at that give up machine she's kissing.
Virtual,
I see it.
Virtual reality stock photos. Do it. Okay?
Man, those
that's
are
pretty
great.
Good, Willie.
That's
I'm
what's
glad
happening.
You found that.
All right?
That's oh, that's pretty good, man.
What else is happening? Apparently, AAA fucking games being made by one man.
I thought you were gonna say Triple H.
Are a thing. Have you seen the trailer for
yes.
Lost Soul
yes,
Aside?
I have.
Yes, I heard.
Okay. Now,
I say,
this is a very Final
I say,
Fantasy 15 looking thing.
Sure is, and that's what inspired him to do it.
With tons of character action, combat things happening.
I'd
looks
say
pretty,
like, I'd
looks
say
beautiful.
Like a Togi levels.
But the fucked up thing is everything about the release and information on this game is that it seems to be one South Korean man.
Yeah.
And it makes no sense because he's using UE4. Yes. He's actually doing some asset flipping off of the UE4 asset store. Yes. But it looks amazing.
And like,
I almost don't believe it's one man.
I read a thing where he was like, yeah, I got really inspired when I saw the first footage of Final Fantasy 15. So I just model off that and I know it. And then as I work, I'm going to make it dip more different as time goes on. Because like, I was just using that as a base and now I'm going to like, I'm like, cool. At least someone fucking says that. Unlike all of China.
No. And on Twitter, he's like, I'm just a normal developer. You know,
I'm just a regular cherry boy.
Thank you for all. Yes. Cherry boy like me. Thank you for all your kind words. But it's just like, you are like, how? And more importantly,
why?
If this is what one man can do, do you just like how do you pay a man like that? Do you hire him and what's the budget of our game? Okay, this is now your money.
The budget of the game is the food that keeps me alive.
Basically. So Lost Soul Aside, go look at the trailer for this thing. It is nuts, not just in its scale and in how much is in it, But like the level of polish that's there so far is like, it's like, that's, you need a team for that.
Like, cause when you start that up, when you start that video up and you hear like, character action combat, you go, okay. And you look for the tells, like, look at this stilted animation. Look at the bad animation blending before attacks. Nope. Correct.
It's how? Not, no.
How? What? Then there's some effects, like when he teleports, like you see individual blue pixels of his after image kind of fade off. Like
it looks,
more of
it looks, the smooth, particles. It looks smoother to play than Final Fantasy 15.
It does. It looks, Final Fantasy 15 actually look, for its combat of that I've seen, it looks jankier.
Oh, it's starting to hit me, man. The fucking morning.
It's okay.
God.
It's okay.
I'm starting
to power through it. Think about wiener dogs with huge floating UFO guns.
Yes! I was hoping you'd get.
I love wiener dogs.
Think about
their tiny weenie legs.
Think about big mamas that throw dynamite.
Okay, so is Doris's thing is that she only uses dynamite or grenades?
We are talking about Wild Guns Reloaded. We finally saw the trailer that shows the gameplay for the two new characters, and we've got Doris and
Bullet,
and so Bullet the dog is a wiener dog, and he straight up runs around and he's got what seems to be mind controlled drone floating above him, and he can jump and grab onto it and float above the stage for like evasive maneuvers.
It's like Iggy mixed with someone else.
Yeah, it's Iggy with the fool.
Yeah.
And then we've got Doris who runs around and throws sticks of dynamite out, and the longer you charge them,
make a spread of them.
So yeah, you hold the button down and you can make 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then you get up to, I think, 6 or 9.
It looked like 6 or 9, yeah.
Yeah, and then you just throw out a ton of explosives.
Final.
She uses that instead of guns. And it's like,
but
okay.
But then what's her screen clear?
I don't know. More? Yeah.
She pulls out a tiny little pistol.
That's what I mean.
And then, of course, you've got Annie and Clint.
Who look unchanged.
Yeah, they look pretty similar. And then now you throw on the four-player mode.
Jesus.
And the amazing art. And they keep showing that exploding mech because of all the
that
work they put into it.
Explosion, like, we'd seen that in the little, like, tiny teaser trailer before. And I was like, oh, that's new assets. That's redrawn. And then when they showed it again, I feel like they added more explosions to it. And it, like, there's a, like, a whole other sequence of exploding that they added.
Like,
to
I know this is happening and I'm seeing it, but I still don't believe there's other people.
I still think it's an elaborate
hoax. I still think no one else is out there that cares about Wild Guns. Like,
no, but I think it's a hoax.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not sure.
Like, I didn't believe that people knew and cared about Windjammers for a long time, and it took the giant bomb pushing it on people for me to accept it being real the track jackets, the meetups and competent tourneys are going down. That's what it took for me. Mm-hmm. But now, a world where people love and know about Wild Guns, I'm not ready.
What's Wild Guns?
Exactly.
That's right. That's the right answer. That's the right question.
When's this coming out? Like in September, October?
It's coming out soon, I believe. Let me see if we can.
I want to know because we have to do it.
Oh, let me grab a quick date. We revisit the old LP.
Absolutely.
Oh man,
I wouldn't if it was like a 10-hour game, but it's like a 1-hour game.
Oh sure, man, absolutely. No.
At least it's there.
Doesn't say on the video. So.
I'm pretty sure it's just generally fall.
Man, I'm looking at pictures of wiener dogs. They're so cute.
Keep an eye out. You can look up pictures of.
Yes.
No, that doesn't work. Okay. How do I? Okay.
You
no
look
transition.
Up pictures of wieners.
The Vita got hacked, you guys. The Vita got hacked.
You can look up pictures of wieners
on your
Vita, and then after that, you can go to a website and click a single button, and it'll hack your Vita.
There you go. So the Vita has been hacked. It runs emulators, homebrew, and more. However, it does not allow you to pirate games.
Yeah, the statement by the guys who did this is really clear. It's like, we're aware that doing this is going to help the cause to piracy. So, in response, we fucked up that shit and locked it down again. It appears they have their own, like, copy protection on it.
It allows, exactly. So, it allows for
a new age.
It allows for homebrew and anything to, it allows for code to be injected, but it doesn't allow, the copy protection of official Vita games to be cracked. So, and this is the craziest thing about this is that it's actually, like, the softest type of hacking I've ever heard of for a console.
Yes. It's pure injection.
It's pure software. You simply go to a website and tap a button.
And then it'll do it.
And now it works. And it works for as long as your Vita is on. And then when you turn it off, it goes away and your Vita cleans itself up and returns back to normal. Like, I can't imagine.
The only thing you would ever have to do is like, oh, a new game comes out that uses a firmware that I'm not upgrading to. It's like, okay, I'm going to give up on my homebrew stuff. Turn the Vita off. Turn it back on.
Done. Yep. And you have your SD card, which has your saved homebrew shit. So you don't have to worry about your data in that regard. You just make sure that it's you know, there and whatnot.
So I'm very interested in seeing if Sony is going to, like, aggressively fuck this up like they do all their custom firmware things because of the piracy angle on this. I think it would be really amazing if they didn't go out of their way to disable this.
Because there is no piracy available.
Yes.
At the moment. And the PSP, of course, exploded once that thing got cracked.
Well, hardware sales exploded.
Yeah.
Software sales did not.
Of course.
Yeah.
But, you know, and like a hacked PSP is the fucking greatest thing.
And a hacked Vita is also pretty awesome.
It is.
Because let's say someone goes up to something like Kotaku or whatever, and they're like, what do you think about this, that someone like kind of, you know, got homebrew working on the Vita, and like it's entirely possible Sony will go, the what?
Yeah,
like they actually don't care.
Well, yeah. the thing is really, like a bunch of the reasons behind like legitimate cracking of your PSP
or Sony were, America,
I want to play this game digitally or on the go, but I can't, or I want to have a bunch of games on that, but I can't. You know, because of various things.
Yeah.
But now that the Vita is like, well, every single game that ever came out in your region is available digitally. Like, all of a sudden, like, as a legitimate cracked thing, it's a way better thing than the PSP ever was.
Mm.
It's way better.
I'm very curious to see how this plays out.
This is a pure value add to the system. So I'd be incredibly disappointed if it was actively disabled. Not passively disabled. Because passively disabled is they made a few changes here or there, and it broke it temporarily, and they have it fixed by 2 days from now, right?
The website's down. The website's back up.
Right.
Down
something
again.
Like that. But actively disabled is like, we went into the part where this gets injected and fucking blocked it up with plaster and shit, and now there's goo leaking out of your Vita. That'd be sad.
Hmm.
That would be sad.
And you know, they don't even have to make a statement on it. All they have to do is in the next firmware update, they don't actively disable it.
Basically.
All they have to do is nothing.
Yeah.
For them to get like a win to the people who know.
And like there is something to this though, in that you're not voiding your warranty.
Nope.
Because you're not cracking the thing open.
Nope.
You know, so in some ways, if you do brick it via these methods, you're probably still covered.
I went to a website and clicked on a weird thing.
I don't know what I did.
That's interesting. I wonder how that's going to play out. I
wonder if there's like weird porn malware for Vita.
Yes.
Is that the world we're going towards?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I thought that malware was called Monster Musume.
Or every Japanese visual novel release on the Vita ever.
We're going towards a world in which you're going to get, like, porn malware in your Augs.
What else?
Oh, no, my Oculus keeps having these pop-ups.
My arm is making these porn noises. Well, we've got, in non-news news, Star Wars Galaxy in Turmoil fan project gets shut down by LucasArts.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Was that announced? Of course it was.
Whatever.
All right.
You know, like, good job. Same old shit.
Sabotaging
hey,
yourself.
You announced the project. It looked like a thing that was going to take place in the Star
God
Wars
damn
world.
It! How many times do we have to say it?
Dude, it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter. I just, there's no point feeling that. Don't even feel that. Just take that feeling and throw it out.
It's like, you don't need that feeling.
You know? It's a bitter, cynical attitude to have towards talented fan projects.
It makes
and
me
I know
really
that
happy.
Really sucks.
It makes me really happy that, like, before the podcast comes out, I can go to our subreddit and see people going, well, this thing got canceled in their announcement videos.
Yep.
Right? And then usually by the time the podcast comes out,
you know
the
what?
Shit's canceled.
You know what, guys? As soon as we have the time, let's shoot a PSA.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Let's shoot a little.
Like a for real PSA.
Let's shoot a little PSA. Live action. Just like a concern.
That people can send
concern.
To, hey, do you know a developer that thinks about unveiling their indie game that uses another person's intellectual property? Send this to them. Hey, fucking don't!
Hi there, friend. I know that you're a fan of this thing. In fact, we're probably huge fans of it too, and love the work you're gonna be doing.
Hey, remember Chrono Resurrection? Of course you don't. It didn't fucking come out.
Let's take a look at a brief timeline of canceled fan projects, shall we?
Oh, man.
Just go down the fucking list.
Hundreds, right? Hundreds and hundreds.
Right?
And of just high-profile ones.
Think about all these good memories that we don't have.
Remember remember that time you were done playing Bid for Power for the night and then wanted to play Galaxy in Turmoil? No.
Good friends don't let friends put their fan projects on online before they're ready. Sorry. Anyway, we'll figure it out.
One day.
Who else? Niantic needs to figure some shit out, too, because...
The update to Pokemon Go is still weird.
There's some weird shit going on. So, okay, two things going on. One, Pokemon Go gets updated, and the Pokemon tracker was busted for a while.
For a long while.
The steps just never made any sense.
Like, the entire time it was available in Canada, officially,
the tracker
was broken.
It never worked. And so now the tracker has just removed steps entirely.
But now, like, the tracker's still there.
Yep.
But it just has nothing in it.
Doesn't do anything.
Well, it was blank for a while, but now there's stuff in it. But there's just pictures of Pokemon with no data.
Really?
Yeah. And you can't select any of them anymore.
That is weirder than I thought.
So it was like a very soft patch that was just like, okay, you can see which 9 Pokemon are closest to you, and that's all you can do. Mm.
That's a lot of data. I just got a message loading this up that was do not trespass while playing Pokemon.
That's
Go.
The new message if you haven't opened it up since.
Yeah, like that's the main thing that they
added.
Yeah,
steps are gone.
It says don't fucking get killed.
Right, don't go into dangerous areas. Yeah. It's up to you to interpret
we
that.
We know that we put this Moltres in this volcano, but don't go up there.
Well, the thing about those is... Likely, we're gonna see the legendaries doing what they did for Ingress, which is having special events where the crowd has to just get together in public space.
Has to sacrifice one person to get thrown into the volcano to get the legendary.
I'll do it.
Whose life is worth it?
Hey, that baby hasn't lived anything.
Yeah.
It has no value.
Yeah.
He has low XP.
We have to eat it.
He's not even gonna be able to play Pokemon Go for a while.
Yeah.
Like a year or something.
Yeah. Look at that old guy. He's gonna die anyway.
No, that old guy, I don't know, he could do something cool.
He doesn't even
know. I just used, like, both ends of the sacrifice spectrum with completely opposite reasoning.
Yep. Mm-hmm. He doesn't know Pokemon.
Anyone's good.
Alright, the other being...
You kids playing your Pokemans?
You stop this party.
They got rid of battery saver mode, because that...
Oh, fuck off, that's the best!
Because that shit just didn't fucking work.
Work for me.
A lot of people had the game freeze the fuck up
because
every second time you put it on. Personally, I want there to be something, and it's harder to deal with this, but on iOS in particular, you go to slide to catch something, but you accidentally pull up the iOS slide menu from the bottom, and that freezes the game and doesn't allow you to throw any more balls. So I'm staring at, I believe it was a pincer.
Ugh.
And I'm like, well, bye.
Dude, that sucks. Battery saver mode was like vital for
me. Wait, what would happen?
You slide, you go to play with Pokemon Go, right?
Yeah,
and you're playing on the iOS. So you're throwing the balls up, but occasionally you go a little bit too low on your thumb and you pull up that bottom menu that comes up when you slide from the bottom of the touchscreen.
And that crashes.
And then you put it back down and then the game is frozen now. Like,
okay.
It's a soft crash, because it's not frozen, but you can no longer throw balls out.
Because Leanna,
so the rare thing is gone.
Leanna plays on iOS, and when she'd capture something, like, and she'd, like, flick, and then it would get into the ball, and then it would just crash right there.
Yeah, so that happens, too. When that happens...
That's a different problem?
Yeah, that's a different problem, okay. Apparently a fix for that is basically shut the game down immediately, right? Close it.
It's not really a fix.
No, but here, you shut it down, you turn on airplane mode.
Okay.
Boot the game up again, get the disconnection message,
then
turn airplane mode off and continue playing, and when you reconnect to the servers, you'll have that Pokemon card.
Okay.
Fucking bonkers, but that's what's going on. They nerfed a couple moves, and most importantly, they got rid of PokeVision and the distance trackers that were
third-party. They just got rid of stuff.
So,
they got rid of features.
Good job.
So there's a website that allowed people to go on to Google Maps and see what was nearby and how long they had to go catch it. And they got rid of that. And that upset a lot of people.
Mostly cheaters.
I don't care because I don't mind using that at all when your tracking system doesn't work.
Yeah.
I have no problem.
But, like, I remember this image that was floating around that was like a shot of Twitch, like of people playing Pokemon Go on Twitch, and 9 out of 10 of them were colored in red boxes, and it's like all of these guys are using GPS spoofers to play Pokemon Go. Stop Twitch cheating on Pokemon.
Again, the other thing is that apparently people did that for Ingress and it hammered their servers really hard.
Yeah.
So like that could be one of the reasons as well. But there's still that other service that I forget the name right now, but it's based on people's reports and not on actual hammering the Pokemon Go servers.
God,
I
think I'm still hungover from Saturday.
It's okay. No worries. We'll do it. We're going to make it. That upset a lot of people, but it's fine.
Why is it fine, Wooly? Because what's the next topic? It's a good one, right?
You don't know. You can't
see it. Not necessarily.
Oh, okay.
What?
Oh, well, I don't know. I was just going to say that, like, it's fine. Anyway,
what's happening?
For the, like, 2 people out there that have Apple Watches,
yeah,
there's an RPG you can play on it now.
Oh, really? What's it called?
Square Enix put out
Chaos Rings?
It's Chaos Rings.
Of course it is.
But it's iOS. It's not iOS. Sorry. It's Apple Watch Chaos Rings with an RPG battle system on your watch. And it actually uses steps and time and the things that the watch does and a pedometer.
That's cool. My girlfriend has an Apple Watch. I'll tell her to check it out.
To play, you know? So that's interesting.
I forgot Apple Watch existed.
That's interesting. I did as well.
I'm curious to see like what you could do with that.
Apple Watch their stock fall, more like it. Sick burn.
Nah.
What else we got?
Well, all right, let's wrap up and get it to our letters. I get it. I can take
it. No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying like that there's nothing to say about
No,
that
I'm trying thing. I'm just being a
then
shit.
Then I got nothing.
I'm just
else.
Being a shit cuz I think I'm going to throw up.
A bunch of funny guys made a trailer for Peter the Cop in Street Fighter
4. Oh yeah, I saw that. It was great.
Go watch it.
Peter
Let's check some letters
his supers
out.
Are just broken. Like
he doesn't have super.
He does now.
He has a super.
Like customized
and it's just
supers.
A strong version of his swing, his bat swing.
It looks super weird.
It's
I love
dumb.
It.
All right. If you've got a letter, send it in to yawns at superbestyawns.yawn. That's superbestfriendcast@gmail.com.
That's super yawn yawn yawn.
The PS Plus is a great deal.
Yeah, yawn.
That's
at. Is that Arcadia's like, at least we didn't steal, and I'm like, but you lost.
Like, literally, like, dude, seconds before, they're like, yeah, we bought our star, and I'm just like, winners don't fucking buy stars.
They steal them.
What? Welcome to the party, bitch.
Yeah. At least we didn't steal. Yeah, you didn't, loser.
Pedro.
Yeah, we won honor. We lost honorably. Like, yeah. Whatever, loser.
Pedro says, hello from Brazil.
Hey, man.
I wish I knew how to say Brazil in Portuguese.
Brazil?
But I don't.
Gigantic asses.
Yeah, that's how you say hello.
Yeah.
In the past, you guys have complained about Canadian provinces such as Toronto, Vancouver, and Ontario.
Oh, love this. That's I love Toronto's this not, so much.
All right, let me stop you there. Toronto is a part of
it's a city.
Ontario.
It's a big ass city.
You've got Vancouver being a part of British Columbia.
It's a big ass city.
So we're
too.
Correcting when we get everything wrong about
that's
a country
correct.
Or its
because
capital
this is one of the few times we can get it right.
And even then, it's never 100%
and
right.
And Montreal is a part of Quebec. Yes. So we've complained about Toronto, Vancouver, and Ontario in the past. Pat's been tweeting about how stinky Hamilton is. My question is there a single place in Canada that doesn't suck?
All of it except the places we don't like.
The honest truth is that any of these Canadian cities is pretty damn good.
Yeah,
compared
well, not
to
Hamilton.
A lot of shitty other places out there. But you also have to take into context that Pat anywhere in the world would hate it and would call it a piece
of shit. I'm a huge like town fanboy. Like massive town fanboy. If I cared about hockey, I'd be one of those crazy people like egging people with Toronto jerseys on. Because fuck them.
We got one coming in from Sono, and he just wants to know, hey, questions for Wooly.
By the way, I want to point out that Pedro's asking if there's anywhere in Canada that doesn't suck. It's like, I hear our Olympic Village isn't poisoning people.
Yeah, I heard that too.
How about that?
I mean, no one's in the Olympic Village right now?
No, it's condos and shit.
Oh, right. It's for swimmers, people now.
The swimmers were able to open their mouths while swimming.
Dude, that's so bad. You hear what what happened with when they flushed all the toilets?
Oops, all sewage.
Like,
gross.
You do the stress test on a building, you have to flush all the toilets at the same time to see if the pipes can handle it. Yep. Guess what? They fucking can't.
Nice.
Like, oh.
You are the Olympic champions. You got
good
what you
luck,
deserve.
Olympians, with your future Zika virus.
So, we got one coming in from, Sono, and he's basically just like, yo.
Is it Sono Chido Saname?
No, just
I
Sono.
I literally. Okay.
Okay. Myungshing Fanta and Crown joysticks. Have you given them a try? I've got my fighting game joystick from Itoki. So this guy's talking about.
I've not run into these. No.
He's talking about Korean parts that are an alternative to the
Japanese parts.
Japanese
or...
Sanwa and Hori buttons and sticks, and the American competition style push buttons and sticks. I have my first joystick I ever built was out of Korean parts that I bought directly from Laugh himself, who was Infiltration's old buddy. He got some Korean parts, and they're very weird because they have elastic on their gates instead of hard plastic. It works as a resistor, but it wears out after a lot of use. Quite frankly, I didn't like the feel.
What about
it.
The buttons?
The buttons were not. They weren't as smooth as I wanted them to be. There was too much resistance on them. Again,
so they're high resistance buttons?
Exactly. And the rubber on them was it gave too much feedback. They pinged loudly each time you pushed them in when they shot back out. And I just kind of didn't enjoy that.
I feel like that's for a very specific reason.
It wouldn't be as easy to plink on these things if you needed to. So,
Not perfect for fighting games, but I bet they're good for something else.
I don't recommend them. Getting used to them is one thing, but ultimately I still stand by the Japanese layout and or going with an American layout if that's what you're used to. They're sturdy and they're good.
I've become such a fucking piece of shit snob about this at some point where there's a Third Strike cabinet at Con Bravo. I'm like, yeah, woo, Third Strike. And I walked up to it and looked down and I saw that it was Hap. And I played like 3 matches. Like, no, I'm done.
Huh, weird.
Just,
okay.
I always hated Hap, but like now I'm at the point where it's like, it's not even worth playing.
My ideal configuration, it was not the default Mad Catz one that we're using with Sanwas and Sony and Hori stuff, but I got used to that because I realized when my customized stick broke and I had to borrow another one, I was fucking done. I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I can never have this happen.
I have to use something standardized.
I need to be able to grab anything default and be okay. Yeah. So I just made myself get used to it.
I like Shimizu's buttons.
Yep.
I like that they're a little clickier.
Absolutely. Okay, Justin wants to know,
I just don't think anything can touch the Sandwich JLF.
Where did Willy get to in Hajime no Ippo? I finished it.
Yeah, you finished everything, I think.
Anime-wise,
yeah, I finished
the
show.
Yeah, no, the manga is forever.
Manga's like 20 years past that.
The manga, I saw the panel about Ippo.
20 real years or manga
all
years?
All of it.
Oh, okay.
I saw the panel where Ippo was thinking about the omnidirectional Dempsey roll. And that's what I knew.
Or the giant wolf shooting out of someone's fist.
Well, there's that.
That's every page.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, Go wants to know, what evolution of a character design over the years have you liked the most?
I like Terry Bogard a lot.
He said not from a fighting game, but I'm gonna say
fuck off.
I like Kyo Kusanagi's.
I think.
But Terry Bogard into Wild Wolf is a really strong one.
I think Dante's visual design over time
is very
stellar.
Interesting as well. Yep,
yeah.
That's a good one. Mm. Bayonetta.
Yeah.
That's a great, yeah, but it's there.
Legacy of Kain's, King. Like, he looks pretty weird in the first one. And I think that, like, when he got aged the fuck up and became, like, a scaly looking weirdo vampire, that really added to him a lot.
When you say, when you say no fighting games, you're taking out the thing that has the best examples of this.
Yeah.
So
don't use fighting games.
Well, I'll answer the question. And say Link.
Yeah.
But those are all different people. That doesn't count.
Mm.
Being a shit.
I feel like it goes up and down though, as opposed to a consistent up.
Yeah, because like I think the up part is Breath of the Wild and Hyrule Warriors Link, and the down part is everything else ever.
All right,
I'd say like Dante is also up and down.
Well, that's why I said over time, yeah. And I meant chronologically.
Okay, yeah, fair enough.
Right? Because, like, his DMC3 one is the worst, but it's the first one canonically. And then, his alternate universe, Dino version,
I like them all
the
differently,
worst.
But I like 2 the best.
Yeah, two's
great.
Said that.
2's fucking great.
You know who doesn't have an interesting one? Like, Mario, per se. There's little differences here and there.
Fucking Kirby and Smash Brothers.
Kirby and Smash Brothers. I think Sonic's could be more interesting, but it's really not. It's Sonic, and then there's just Attitude Sonic, and that's it, really. Mm-hmm. Like, there's fat, awesome-bellied, little cool Sonic, and then there's Dreamcast Sonic.
There's something to be said, believe it or not, for Ryu as well. Like, from, you know, like,
there
red-haired
is
alpha boy.
But that also has some ups and downs.
And then you've got buff man with black hair, and then the symbols on his gloves, and the writing on his belt. Uh-huh. You know, you've got these little things that have popped up over the years on what is an otherwise
classic
design.
Chun-Li's is a bit more interesting.
Yeah, definitely. Though it really just fluctuates between 3 versions.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Chun-Li is a good example, too. Mm-hmm. There you go. I think that's a lot of examples.
No fighting games, though.
Nope.
No fighting games.
That's not fair. That's the least all right. fair fucking
Stephanie
thing.
Stephanie says, hey, guys. Con Bravo was an absolute blast. It was really cool seeing you guys.
Oh, nice to meet you, Stan.
Dan and Paige, sweetest ladies. I was the to be new. I was the to be continued sign girl.
Oh, hey, yeah.
She was good.
I saw her right away and went, yeah.
You guys noticed it, and it made me feel good about dragging it around.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of, I was talking to Paige about this a while ago. It's like, I always have to respect, because we walked by some Undertale people that had like the full blown face paint, right? And then we walked by some people that had big signs or big weapons. Like, I always have to respect the cosplayer that is going to kind of ruin their weekend.
Yeah.
For their cosplay.
Yeah.
And that sign is definitely in there.
Oh, on that note, shout-outs to Temmie Chang for just showing up to our signing.
To our signing.
And just being like, hey, what's up? I'm Temmie Chang. And we're like,
I turn around for 2 seconds and she was gone.
Fuck?
You know what? Shout downs to Antfish for photobombing my fucking picture with Temmie Chang.
Yeah.
But
she's a nice lady.
I feel super bummed out that I totally didn't see her at all, even though she was in the room.
So Stephanie says that my question was for the Q&A, but there wasn't enough time.
Yeah, there
I was
going to
ask you,
really.
Reboot, the Guardian Code Lyoko. If any of you were put in charge of the project, but you had to move forward with the characters already outlined in the casting call, how would you ensure the show would still be good and maybe even live up to its predecessor?
That's tough.
I would try and find whoever wrote the second and third seasons of Avatar The Last Airbender, and I feel like they could do something with those archetypes.
Yeah.
Because Avatar characters are like, what, during that Ember Island Prayers episode,
yes,
you
course.
Get to see that, and that those characters
edgy alt chick.
Are
okay.
kind of like that.
Yeah.
I feel like it could be done.
Okay. I would, keep that casting call, but get rid of the live action entirely and make those characters CG.
Okay. That's
right?
fine.
That's big step number one.
Oh, yeah, getting rid of a live
big
action
step.
Is a
big
very
step number
big.
One. Step number two would be create a timeline for these characters to evolve into real people from two-dimensional stupid inserts and have something interesting where it's not like we're fighting against the new Megabyte Kid or whatever the fuck or AI shit. Have it go somewhere interesting where perhaps by season two or so, half of that cast, like one of those cast members is dead. And two of them are perhaps villains, and that's the actual setup for where your story is going.
We're basically still
you know?
Switching the casting call just over the course of a
No. Keeping it the same, but it's like, imagine if you have a team of Power Rangers that you start with, but they're not actually Power Rangers. What you're seeing are your heroes and villains that are eventually going to grow into those roles.
Mm-hmm.
But at first, they're a bunch of buddies or something. Like, working something interesting with an otherwise two-dimensional shitty setup.
I'm the shadow boss. What?
Basically,
that's crazy.
I thought you were my buddy. What happened?
No, it was the shadow boss.
That's my girlfriend.
That's what I would do. P.S. I will continue trying to read Steel Ball Run. I've been feeling the part 6 depression as well. I hear you. I told you what
you
to
did
do.
It. You
I told you what
it,
to do.
So
you got to break
power through.
Got to break through.
I saw you having that discussion with what seemed like a dozen people this weekend.
It's a hard wall to hit, and you feel it, and it
everything
sucks.
You know and love is gone.
It sucks.
Yeah.
But then it comes back, and then it shows love. Ben wants to know, Tasty Super Best Breakfast Cast.
Gentle Ben.
You talked a lot about replaying games and rewatching movies, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I kind of don't understand the appeal. Once I've beaten or watched a movie, I'm done with it and I move on to the next one. Replaying becomes boring.
And you really didn't love those things, did you?
I already know what's going to happen and I've done it all already. So I was wondering if you'd explain what's the appeal about this because I've missed the memo.
Well, games is harder than movies.
Absolutely.
It's easier to go back and watch a movie because the time asked of you is not as bad.
It depends how strongly you personally react to nostalgia, even personal nostalgia.
Yeah.
So probably the best example I can think of this is Gurren Lagann. So I watched Gurren Lagann way back, right after it finished, in one go, and I was like, that's the fucking shit.
Right.
And I rewatched it again, and it's just like, this is all great, and I feel a lot of the same emotions that I felt the same time pivotal scenes happened, because I remembered how I felt when they were new.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't the same, right? So what did I do? I embarked on this path of like, hey, friend of mine, you see Gurren Lagann? No? Well, hey, why don't we watch
it? Well, then you're in for a fucking
treat. So that I could, like, eat their ambient vicarious energy.
Right.
And I do this all the time because I have something, you know, I get it. Like, you'll never get that first experience again. And how much you personally value that, if you value that, like, at the top, like, you hate spoilers, and once you're done, you're done. But if you can try and recreate any of that, or you're the kind of person that can... Like, my girlfriend rewatches Mystery Science Theater all the time. She fucking loves it. She watched, like, you know, and Matt, you rewatch old Godzilla garbage all the time.
Well, no, like, I was going to say, I've seen a couple of Mystery Science Theaters at least a couple of dozen times in episodes.
So, like,
I understand this guy the most because I replay things the least.
Yeah, you do. Well, it depends. Once you've had every matchup in a fighting game, you're basically done.
Yes. But...
that's when you've beaten it.
You know, so I feel that not every – there's very few games for me and movies for me that I consider to be rewatchable and replayable, even if I enjoy them thoroughly. And there's oftentimes the title of this email is Explain New Game Plus to Me, and I can explain that by saying that in a game that actually has different content.
Yeah, well, that's obvious.
Very easy.
Right? For Devil May Cry 1 and you beat the game and then all of a sudden all the enemies get remixed and the bosses have new patterns.
You've got a good reason to go back through it. Right. The other thing too is if you like the game enough and you enjoy the game part of the game and not just the story, then you want to work on perfecting.
And not even just the story, like encounter design that relies on shock and whatnot. Like Dark Souls, like I love the mechanical combat of Dark Souls. I love the way it feels. Yeah. I like fighting those enemies. Even if I know how to beat them, even if the discovery of beating them and the discovery of new areas, that's a massive, massive pull. And it's why the first playthrough is always the best.
Mm.
But even going through the motions is still a blast. It's like playing a single player fighting game to me.
Yeah. And you know, like that's exactly it. Is the thing you're not accounting for here, Ben, is the fact that even when you know the events occurring and whatnot, that's only part of the reason why we enjoy playing these things.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the game itself is a fun game to play, you know?
So for me, I've replayed the two games that I can think of that I've replayed that are like the farthest on the one end of the spectrum is I replayed New Vegas and Dragon's Dogma top to bottom complete, like a couple years after each of those games came out. And to a degree, if the game is big enough, and you get far enough away from it, you'd be amazed how much you can kind of forget. Mm-hmm. And how much can hit you with like, oh yeah, I remember that. Oh man, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like that was what I was saying every 15 minutes when I was replaying through New Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
So I forgot this quest was in this game. Oh man, I love that quest. You know, stuff like that.
Go ahead.
I was going to say like, really, like for me, there's like certain movies that all, like, anytime, like Terminator, Aliens,
Robocop,
Predator, Robocop, anything like that, Gladiator.
Is that playing right now? I'll watch that right now.
I'm watching it right now in my head. So like that, those are stuff that I would actually just use as white noise, and then I'll watch and I'll be entertained by whatever scene, but I don't need to pay absolute attention. Cause if I can hear it or just be generally aware of where it is, I'll look up, be entertained for the amount of time that I'm looking up and look away, then do something else. Just something to occupy my mind if I'm doing chores around the house or if I'm editing something. Like OSW reviews is another thing, like much like Mr. Science Theater. Well, I've replayed, especially the Samurai Cop episode. Samurai Cop is a movie that I've seen at like...
I've seen it four times.
I must have seen it like two dozen times by now.
Wow, really?
Like you said about, Gurren Lagann, I'll show that to new people.
Oh, you don't know this? Oh, you gotta see this. You gotta see this right now.
I showed Vernon from Game Grumps that, and he was just like, what the fuck? I showed Takahata, most of Team Four Star that, like, I love to live through that shit. And like,
you get some of their life force when that happens.
You get re-entertained by their entertainment.
There's only one thing you can't do. You can't do that thing that drives Willy the craziest where you're watching it and you turn away to watch them.
And you watch it. Is he reacting?
You gotta be slyer than that.
Don't fucking do that shit.
But then if you look and then you see a person on your phone and you've never felt more hatred for a single person in your lifetime.
I want to throw a brick through people's faces when they're like, let's watch this, and they pull out their phones like, I want you to die.
And you know what, man? Sometimes there's just things that like give you goosebumps or make you feel like, oh my god, you gotta go back and watch
the ending
those
of Lagann Hen makes me get goosebumps and get teary eyed every single time. Dude, I can't watch. I've never seen the ending of Lagann Hen more than once. Like the ending. Uh-huh, yeah, I can't deal with it.
Interesting.
I hate that ending so much. I hate it. I hate it.
Also, like, I must have played through MGS3. Three times, twice. On initial, once normally, once on subsistence.
That's a fucking good
then
one
once
too.
Once on HD, but I must have watched all the cutscenes in a Metal Gear cut movie of three
at least a billion times. At least 1 billion.
Yeah, like I had it on loop and I was like editing stuff. This was like years ago.
Like I just watched the random JoJo intros at random times.
Yeah,
the day,
totally.
At random times during the day. MGS1 in particular. I played the most out of any other game because I replayed that for, I can't even count how many times, because that was one of the things that not introduced me to, but like it really cemented an addiction I have for like a game that is really good at allowing you to perfect the run. I brought it up before. Super Metroid is good at that. MGS1 is good for that. Mirror's Edge is good for that.
I did any
game that allows you to do that, I'm way in on.
I did something very similar with the Resident Evil games where I replay them over and over. It's like, can I dodge this guy? Do I have to? Can I just shoot him once and be done with it, right? And like, you could, if you go through the LPs and you go through RE2, you go through RE3, you go through whatever, you can see like a vast difference between, say, RE2 and RE0. RE0 I beat once. RE2 I beat 100 times.
Mm-hmm.
And the level of confidence, the amount of times I walked into a room in RE0 and went, oh shit, fuck, right?
Mm-hmm. I'll throw it up there, but I mean, Bionic Commando 2009, you know, play through each difficulty on that, and like.
Is there a secret ending in which his arm is not his wife?
No, but by the time you beat.
So there's no real point.
By the time you beat, the Commando difficulty, it's one of those like, take two hits and die.
Yeah.
Type of situations. So like, it's like you've replayed it infinite times, really. But, yeah, man, that's what it is. You know, it's that feeling of, it's trying to recapture the feeling you had of when this moment happened, and in some cases, playing it better than you did the first time. You get through a stage in Wonderful 101 and you're like ranked like consolation prize. You're like, ah, come on, I can do better than that, you know? So why not?
No, hey, I can't.
I have some news. Is this new? I'm gonna pass my phone to Wooly here. I'm pretty sure it's fucking new.
Let's see. I'm gonna take the phone and I'm gonna take a look at it. And it is.
It might be a thing.
A piece of news that says WWE signs former NFL player Brennan Williams. WWE sent out the following, announcing they've signed Brennan Williams, 6'7", 300-pound former offensive tackle. Brennan is joining the ranks of the WWE Performance Center.
You can't teach being 6'5".
He reports to the Orlando Training Center today. The third round draft of the Houston Texans in 2013. He played college football at North Carolina. He's part of the Jaguars and the Patriots.
Jaggers.
And he will be competing. He made his in-ring debut as part of Reality Wrestling as Marcellus Black And he AKA also holds Shogun. A black belt in Taekwondo.
That's made up.
He fuck you.
Know that.
That's amazing. So we brought this up 2 weeks ago.
We did?
Yes.
It was, it wasn't confirmed.
It was because the reason I say I was confused whether it's new is because I remember talking about it.
Yeah.
But I just said Marcellus. Sorry. Brendan was just on Twitter like 1 minute ago going, boy, that was a hard secret to keep.
So basically.
So it kind of got leaked.
Yeah. So, well, cause fucking Booker T himself
leaked it
on the Instagram. He sent out a picture and said, yeah, all right, good job, boy. You did a good job. Be over here at Reality Wrestling. Now go be the Shogun of the WWE. And we're like, well, I guess that confirms that he's going to be a part of it.
But now we're actually for real confirmed.
For real. Not just Booker confirmed.
It's really nice to know that Brendan couldn't have done this without us.
Yes, it's true.
It was all us.
Hey, congrats, Brendan. I'm very excited to see your rising future as the show
ends. Yeah.
Wait a minute. Otako. Wait a minute.
It feels really exciting to be like have been like fucking ground, like the groundest floor on this and watch him become like the biggest star ever. Watch
I
it
hope
happen.
That the Shogun's new outfit has really long coattails.
That's pretty good. Because we all need to grab on, like, there needs to be four coattails.
We're pieces
at
of
least.
Shit.
So here's what's coming
I think
up.
There might need to be more than four.
I sure would like tickets to WrestleMania next year, Brennan.
Can we just chill a minute?
No, it's already confirmed.
It's like just the, you know, like Trigun's coat split into four, four different little tails to grab onto. Coming up on the channel, we continue with more World of Wooly. That is Inside JoJo and what's the other place?
Nier.
No.
Well,
Nier is there as
Nier
well.
Nier is there.
Well, a new one is starting this week, if that's... Oh, Catherine?
Catherine, sorry.
A new one is starting this week since Inside Deep Inside Wooly is finishing up.
I don't like that title.
Ah, well, you know. that me and Patrick and Liam are starting up...
Oh, we did start that.
Yeah,
yes, that's true.
Is starting up in Disaster Report for the PS2.
Is this related to Disaster Day of Crisis?
It's not,
but it sure seems
super
like it
is. Yeah, exactly.
Like, we are constantly going... Like, Liam keeps saying, this is a different game, this has nothing to do with whatever, and then Matt goes, then how come that thing's the same?
Like, exactly.
It's super weird. That game is bizarre.
Yeah, no, it should
be. So we have two bizarre games going on.
And, you know, beyond that, the Demon Souls archives are going up as well this week. And we got a special Fisticuffs coming along. I hope you guys enjoy.
It's not really that special.
It's,
Wait, what
was it?
It's...
Did we record that?
Yeah.
Yeah, we did.
Let's just say that, some assaults were committed.
Special.
Some assaults were committed.
Backstage assault, WCW. It's
hey,
a
we're
good
not.
One.
I'm not throwing
it's
it out one. There. I'm not throwing it out
it's
there.
Good one. It's a good one.
What I am going to throw out there.
Boy,
as we
I forgot to talk about Gundam this week. That's embarrassing.
Oh, well, you can save it for next week. That's fine. What I am going to throw out there is a quick. Did you know that a clock strikes and gongs 156 times per day?
That's crazy.
Yeah.